Tonight, two of our favorite people ride dual sidecar as Brandon C. Price and Michael Palasek are in studio. Then later, we'll catch up with comedian Will Klinger. And finally, it's Wednesday, so we unlock our Trump trackers. All that and Jeannie Dugan coming up on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Wednesday. It is September 7th. Is that right, Michael Palasek? Is it September 7th as far as you know?
As far as I know, it's September 7th, September 2016, 7th. The year of our Lord.
Whatever. Welcome, Michael Palasek.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in and doing a set tonight at Zany's. Good job.
So happy to do it. I felt like I put you in the corner. I was like, I'll do radio, but I'm going to do a set first.
You didn't at all put me in the corner. Not a little. No. I wanted to talk to you a little. To talk to you a little bit about last night's show. We had a show. I'm performing all week at Zany's. You can go to zanys.com if you want to come hang out with me. Wonderful people in the audience tonight.
Yeah.
Mostly wonderful people in the audience last night.
Mostly is the key word.
Mostly, and I talked about this last night, that there were two women in the front, mm-hmm. just light chatter, like just a little, you know, and not enough where the rest of the audience,
yeah,
could be distracted by it.
Yeah.
So addressing it was sort of didn't meet the standard of the audience will appreciate,
especially in the downtown room because it's so long.
Yes,
or whatever.
Yeah, it's a
people
long
in the
room.
People in the middle don't even know what's going on way at the front.
And I even tried. I stopped the show and even asked the people around them if they could hear them, and nobody said anything.
Yeah.
And one of the girls, like, they would laugh while I was talking. So not like they were laughing at the last joke, but what they were talking about. And it ruins your rhythm.
Yeah.
I try to explain to the audience what was happening. It would be like sitting at your office or in a cubicle and having someone just poking you.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that big of a deal. They're just touching you, like just, you know.
Yeah.
But you're trying to concentrate. Or even if they're just standing there, it's weird.
Yeah.
And they're being weird. So they actually got up and left. Well, we had to meet someone anyway. And they walked out.
They made plans for the middle of the comedy show.
Yes, for the middle of the show. And they left and people applauded. And the people in the front row all said they were annoying.
Yeah.
I did not address the fact that they didn't have my back earlier in the show and say so. But here was what was surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
After I left here, it turns out one of them tweeted at me. So the new wonderful thing in stand-up comedy is that not only can someone ruin a show, they can also then go on Twitter and make you even feel worse afterwards, like continue the pain for no apparent reason. And what she tweeted was stupid. She said, your first problem is picking on people who laugh too hard. And I was like, I don't think that is my first problem. That wasn't what we were talking about.
No.
Your constant chatter and everyone else around you. And because somebody else tweeted at me, that so glad those girls left.
Yeah.
So I just posted that to her.
Yeah.
Without addressing anything.
Yeah.
So it was.
I felt like you were writing a paper in school. Like, this is my reference.
Yeah.
And this is some citing.
I have my footnotes.
This is my argument.
Here's my evidence. And because you were here before when you had performed at Zany's on Wells.
Yeah.
That room, I think, lends itself to anything can happen.
Well, yeah. And especially I feel like those type of people, the people that comment afterwards on Twitter are people who in their normal life don't get in trouble.
Right.
And so the fact that they might have done something wrong is just appalling to them. So they're going to do more and more wrong just to prove that they didn't do anything wrong by complaining and saying that they didn't do anything wrong.
I think you're right. They felt like their identity was challenged in some way. And it was just, no, you're ruining the show.
Yeah, just accept the fact that you're a loser right now. We're not saying it forever, but right now you lost. And you ruined it.
Yeah. Take that on yourself.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to address that. And by comparison, thank the audience last night as well, except for those two women. But you know what? I thank them for giving it their shot at coming out to a club.
Yeah.
And it not turning out well.
Yeah.
But tonight's audience was very nice. I got to play a lot. Do you get that when do you do stream of consciousness comedy or are you much more focused on the material that you've created?
I feel like if I spent time thinking about something, that's when I'm more likely to go off on a tangent because then I like know where to come back to. It's like if all day I didn't like family or in town, I just hung out with people on stage, I'm just going to do pretty much what I would normally want to do. But like when I've actually worked on something, that's when I feel more free. It's like the opposite. Like when I've worked on something, like, oh, I'll try it or not try it. But when I have nothing to go on, I'm like, well, I just got to do what I normally do.
Right. Yeah. And I do a little bit of both. I do... last night I did some material that I knew was a little bit newer and that went, it's funny because that went better last night, the material that I had written.
Yeah.
And the material I had written that was new tonight didn't do as well, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
just the stream of consciousness stuff I had. hadn't even planned. I was talking a lot about just the random things that people say to each other. And I was coming from the point of view of women sort of being accosted and told to smile and you have a nice rack and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I said, I don't know if men get yelled at. Do you get yelled at in public?
I've been yelled at by other men.
But in what way?
Like, gay men, I'm assuming gay men.
Oh, really?
More, more of them. I think maybe women a couple times.
You've been catcalled by men?
Yeah, it's been more like one-on-one, and they're kind of approaching me, and it's kind of...
intense?
Well, yeah, like, yeah, a couple times like that. And then one time in L.A., I was walking down the street, and this guy was kind of drunk, and the show was kind of in a neighborhood that's like probably like similar to Boys Town here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he's like, do you have a girlfriend? And I was like, no, or whatever. I was like, are you in a relationship? And I was like, no, or I have a girlfriend. That's what I said. He's like, well, I'm going to walk with you. Make sure everybody knows that you have a girlfriend. So you don't, cause this is a really, you know, gay neighborhood. And they might
aggressive. Hit
on you. Yeah. So then he just like followed me all the way home and talked to me. Like every group of people that passed, like he's in a relationship. And like,
wow,
it was really awkward.
So the urge that men have to put themselves out there sexually crosses orientation.
Yeah.
It's not just straight men.
Yeah. It might be more so because maybe they feel like a man might be more open to that form of communication.
Interesting. So, but you mentioned that, have you ever been yelled at by a woman?
I feel like groups of women have yelled at me, like in cars and stuff.
That's what I mentioned with like bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
They feel empowered somehow to be crazy and this is their time to yell at
them. And it's a weird place as a man in that situation because girls for most of like high school, whatever, they're all like, the stereotype is like they're not going to pay attention to you unless you're your friend or you get their attention. But now it's just like thrown in your face. It's like, oh, this is usually good, but now it feels weird for some reason. I don't know what to think.
Esmeralda, do you get hollered at?
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
I've gotten hollered at.
Right.
And I don't.
And it is the small, you don't. It's not
like, I try not to respond. Because usually it's like a what? Like you, there's something about it where you're just like dumbfounded where you're like, I don't know what to say. Yeah. Why is this happening?
Right. And that was kind of my point too tonight was that you sort of impose yourself into my mental space.
Yeah.
Where you don't deserve any real estate. It's not there for you to grab. And somehow we try not to let them have it. But at the same time, we've been hollered at.
There's an episode I was watching of the Jim Gaffigan show where his wife gets like catcalled and they go back to confront the person that did it. And it's like a construction worker. And it turns out to be Tig Notaro. Like it's a woman
that catcalled her.
And she originally is like, you got to fire that guy. And then turns out to be a girl. And she's like, you don't have to get rid of her.
Weird.
And then the whole construction crew is getting mad at each other. Like you would get mad if I did it, but not her. And it's this whole like gender issue that she walks away from.
Yeah, let's just make it across the board, regardless of sexual orientation or gender, don't impose your needs sexually on others around you.
I like what you said in your show, like, hi, that's nice, but you're afraid that a high back is going to be like, ugh.
I've engaged that. Esmeralda, don't you find that when someone says hello and then you say hello back and then all of a sudden you've given them permission you've opened the door for them?
Are you walking?
Yeah, if you're walking, anything. Anytime when someone says, hey, hi, and if you don't respond, somehow you're the bad guy.
I usually just give like a weird smile and then I look away.
Right.
And keep walking.
Yes, that's where I am too. But I feel like in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be a mean person in this situation. I don't want to be rude, but you're forcing me to make a choice. And if I have my druthers, it's to ignore you.
Oh, for sure. I wouldn't. Yeah. So I just kind of give like a smile and then just keep going.
Well, I was just being friendly.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm just not being friendly back.
Yeah. I mean, that's the right. You have a right to not be friendly.
I'm going to do the weird smile and look away, just like Esmeralda, or pick my nose.
I had a guy on the CTA, one of the CTA workers. He stopped me. He's like, why don't you ever say hi to me? And I'm like, one, I have headphones on. And two, it's 5 a.m. I got so angry at him because I was going home. I'm like,
I think sometimes like a guy, if he's single and he works or whatever he does, he's going to be very open to the idea of talking to new women. And that might be uncomfortable for him. So the way he expresses it is by shouting or confronting, like, how come you don't talk to me?
You're saying take your shots where you can.
Yeah, he's going to get his shots in.
Wherever he can.
Yeah.
More with Michael Palasek when we come back. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation anytime. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Call or text us at 312-981-7200. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by comedian Michael Palasek, who is performing in Danville tomorrow. Is it tomorrow night?
Yeah, Thursday night.
Thursday. And oh, that was a quick shut off. I should have just rolled that down. That was almost too much of a heart.
Someone was enjoying that song, and they're like, no.
I was trying to get information about your show. So at the Royal Theater in Danville, Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another Danville?
Danville, Indiana.
Oh, copycats. Who's Dan? He got around.
He's got a Ville.
He's got two Villes. I'm guessing he's got Villes all over the country.
He's got separate Ville families.
It's so bizarre. You can go to Royal Theater Danville info. .info?
.info, yeah.
Okay, Royal Theater Danville.info for information about the show at 7 p.m. Michael Palasek has appeared, performed stand-up comedy on The Tonight Show, David Letterman Show, and The Late Late Show, Conan O'Brien, his own comedy special on Comedy Central, Last Comic Standing in the top five.
Yeah, top five.
Top five.
Yeah.
Top two.
Can we say? Yeah. Well, it was like one and then the rest of us, so we kind of all tied for second.
So, you're right. So yeah. The top two.
Top two. Yeah. I'm on the top two Last Comic Standing.
I know that you travel a lot. What do you have any favorites now? Do you put so much mileage under your belt that it's hard to isolate what the good places have been, or do you try to like take mental pictures of the good times?
It's so funny you ask that because I feel like as a comedian, the best places are the places where the crowd was good and the food was and you had a nice hotel room. Like we were in Nashville.
And, love Nashville.
Yeah, and I was going up later in the show, like the second half. And so I didn't have anything to do for the first hour and a half or whatever. So we were right down whatever street that is on Nashville, and I would just like walk around and watch
live music
and hung out or whatever.
Did you go cowboy boot shopping?
You know, I should have.
Yes.
That would have been fun. Next time. And I just did that, and then I went back to the theater, did my show, and it was a great crowd, and I was like, oh, I love Nashville. But I probably could have had a very similar day, but like a bad crowd and like it was horrible out or whatever.
And then you would have hated Nashville.
I would have hated Nashville, but it's just because like everything worked out in the end.
I agree. I mean, I had the good fortune of touring with the Bob and Tom comedy tour.
That's
so
great.
We had wonderful audiences. So I got to go to wonderful, like Louisville, Lexington, Kentucky were great. All over the country, Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
You know, but I agree. I think that if the shows were good, I'm trying to think of like, I've had bad shows in Nashville, but just like in a whole week, you know, so it sort of washes out.
Yeah, I feel like some places that people would be like, oh, you like that place? It's where the people appreciate it a lot. Like some Wisconsin and Iowa cities. Like I grew up in Wabash, Indiana, and that show I do every year is just really fun.
Where in Wabash? What's the theater?
It's near Fort Wayne at Eagles Theater.
Oh, cool.
I think Bob and Tom, they did the big one, the Ford Theater or whatever.
Yeah. It's just so much fun when a show goes well. There's nothing to compare that to.
Yeah.
I've never done anything else that compares to a great show. Just walking out, especially on those nights when it just all goes well.
Yeah.
Everything feels golden.
Yeah.
So you are traveling to Indiana to perform
in Danville.
Yeah,
I'm driving down tomorrow to do that show. And then Friday I'm doing Lindsay Wilson College in Columbia, Kentucky.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We have coming up after midnight, our Trump trackers. I know you're hanging around for a little bit, so I hope, we're not playing any audio. I thought we would pull audio. There's audio from tonight in the last week. I think I don't even know if I should even talk about it on Wednesdays and Thursdays anymore.
Yeah. You cut it back to just one.
Just one night for each. It's just one night for Donald Trump and one night for Hillary Clinton. But, I don't even know if I want, I hear other people talking about it.
Yeah.
It's on the news all the time. There's all kinds of stories that come out. Do you follow? Are you keeping track?
I mean, I think I will when it gets closer and it matters. Like right now, it's like I don't vote for I don't do homework 2 months before it's due. Like November 6th is when we
That's
have to decide.
That's a really good point.
And like as a comedian, Donald Trump is such an easy target. There's people making fun of him for years.
Right.
And Hillary Clinton similarly. So it's like, I'm not going to waste time to write a joke that 30 other comedians have already written.
I agree with that. So. Right. Unless there's like a personal perspective, something happens that you can, because you do, you and I do autobiographical material for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm starting to have very adult conversations with my 13-year-old. Like he has questions about important philosophical things. And do you remember having those conversations with your parents, like the hard ones? Whether it was religion or politics or,
Funny. I feel like my dad would start to talk about something at the dinner table. And the conversation was, my mom would be like, no, we do not talk about that at the dinner table. We do not influence our children on what to think about politics.
Oh, okay.
So the main conversation was, you can believe and think what you want. Like, we were raised Catholic, and that was definitely encouraged through our whole lives. But it was never like, you have to do this or you right. have to not do this. So that was our main raising, is that like this people believe and you should love everybody and all that. But
see that, but that's, yeah. that is important as
yeah.
well,
yeah.
because I'm trying to make sure that Griffin has that path
yeah.
to independent thinking and not feeling
yeah.
as though something is, you know, not beaten over his head, but I mean
yeah.
in that sort of, you know, not in a literal way, but that he feels like if he does something that his parents don't believe in, he's done something wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I was raised that way, but my experience was more through my parents arguing with each other about stuff or knowing that my dad was just wrong.
Well, that's what's funny. It's like my mom would bring it up over topics that I wouldn't even know anything about. Like my dad would start to say something about Nixon and my mom would be like, no, we don't, whatever. And I was like, why? Nixon was a long time ago. Like,
that's still like a touchy subject in the house.
Well, I think like it just came up. One of us asked a question or whatever. And like, I remember someone drawing a graph. My dad would draw a graph of like the power flow in like the circle around. And I was like, okay. And I was like in second grade.
Wow.
And this is in the 90s or whatever. And this happened probably like 20 years before. But
and the power graph.
Well, like how like he put people around him that basically made sure that he would stay in power.
Okay.
I didn't pay attention that much.
I have to look for the power graph now. Is this your dad's creation or is this something that's a
I feel like it's both. Like I feel like maybe it was like something that people knew about.
Okay. Him. I'm going to Google that while we take it.
I don't think power graph is the correct term.
Oh, that's fine. I'm taking it.
It was a circle and there were arrows and it all went to Nixon.
Rob Martier, are you familiar with the power graph in relation to Nixon and the people he surrounded himself with?
The power graph?
The power graph.
Sounds like something they do at the emergency room just to kind of like get you to, you know, triage into surgery.
The power graph.
We're going to have to do a power graph on this patient.
Yeah.
Well, let's find out. I feel like we should have Michael Palasek's dad call in and explain the power graph. Is it kind of like the emergency tree? See,
probably.
It's a lot like the triaging.
Yeah, probably. I don't know what either of those things are.
All right. 312-981-7200 if you can help us out with the power graph. More after this on 720 WGN.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
I'm so excited to have Will Klinger in studio with us. I have Michael Palasek, regular and favorite of the show. And Will, you've been on the show as well. When we had you in studio, I was not here with you. I was the disembodied voice from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
When you came in to do the Mark Roberts play. Was it New Country?
New Country.
It was great. Such a great stage play, by the way.
It was a heck of a play, wasn't it?
It was. And I had always loved every single... I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't want to be quizzed, but I'm pretty sure I saw every single episode of Wild Chicago. So much fun.
I saw every single episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Did you really?
That was my thing.
Is that your thing?
Yeah, but I'm glad you saw every show of all.
Do you have a favorite of the Dick Van Dyke Show? Because mine is
I always used to love it when they would put on a little show in the living room.
I know.
When Dick and his wife, not Dick, Rob and mm-hmm. Laura would do dance and sing. And
I was just reminded of the episode where Laura is, she's not supposed to open that box. And she can't keep it.
She got to get into that box, right.
And it's this huge inflatable raft, Michael, that just, she's overtaken by this massive raft. And the reason I thought of that, did you see this woman who ordered the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
No.
The Ghostbusters, a huge inflatable.
Oh, no.
And she plugged it in, not realizing.
How big it was.
Yeah, it started to expand in her living room. It's this huge, massive 11-foot. So I just thought of that episode, but that's one of my favorite episodes.
That could also be a Lucille Ball stunt.
Exactly.
Too.
Well, there were so many interesting and elements of Chicago that I didn't know about that you brought to life.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether it was the medical museum or, you know, the sort of the underground life that nobody knew about in Chicago. And now you're taking that across the country.
To a national scale.
Ah!
To the greater USA area.
Which is endless.
It's endless, you know. That's right. The potential is boundless. We've been all over the country.
Greater USA. Does that mean you're going to go to parts of Canada that consider themselves American?
Oh, that's
you know
a good
what?
Point.
One of the things we did this season, we went to a place on it's called the Haskell Library and Opera House,
uh-huh.
and it sits right on the border of Canada and Vermont. Why they build it on the border is a question mark. But apparently, there's a line on the floor of the library.
Yeah.
Where if you cross over, you're technically in Canada.
Without any papers.
without any paper. But you could maybe, I said, if I cross this line, can I just declare refugee status?
Yeah.
Ooh. And they said, but no, to get back out, you'd have to go back through Vermont to get out. You know,
of course you would.
Is there no entrance from Canada?
There's no entrance from Canada. Wow. You got to come across the line and then in the door.
You have to go through the security.
And there's people from home. There's a car from Homeland Security right out front to make sure nobody makes a run for it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just because you're trying to do your homework for high school, you got to go through.
Exactly.
And what kind of shows are at this theater that they're able to maintain Homeland Security?
And there's an opera house upstairs that they do mostly musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
That also has a line through it that you know, Canadian and American. Right.
Is there a physical line, or you just know that's
where
the line
is?
There's a physical
line.
They painted it. Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I had one foot on either side of the border at one point.
What if you're a person and you're pregnant and you go to the play hoping that you give birth to an American
and you just
baby.
Lay down on that line, dual citizenship.
Yeah.
I wish I'd asked that.
Do you need writers for your show?
I'd love to know. I'd love to know that.
Well, that brings up a good point because everything has to be spontaneous. You have to be open to every single moment that is on camera. How do you prepare yourself for that? Just to be there and listening?
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and willing.
I might have some preset questions. We got to cover this in my head. But usually when the camera starts rolling, I'm winging it and I'm working off whatever I'm getting back from these people. And thank God, for the most part, people are, you know, happy to play along and you know, rise to the occasion. Some people, we come in with cameras rolling and, you know, it's like a deer in the headlights. But some people, you know.
Oh, sure. I can imagine. I mean, not everybody. It's surprising when you come across that, right? Because you get into this rhythm of everyone's a great topic or a great guest. And then you run into a wall and no matter what you try.
Yeah.
You want to put them in the best light and nothing you can do works.
There's a piece we did this season at the President's Hall of Fame, which is just off the highway near Orlando, Florida, for some reason. You'd think it would be in Washington.
The President of the United States
has a
Hall of Fame?
Hall of Fame, I swear
is
to God.
Is every president in there?
I was going to say, who's left out?
Every president is in there. Millard Fillmore, he's in there.
Wow.
And they've got the most amazing replica of the White House. But we go in there, and the woman, before we start shooting, we're here. She looked pissed. She didn't seem like she was happy to see us. But the camera started rolling, and she became very charming. And thank God, I was like, this is going to be a disaster. But she really warmed up to us.
That had to make you, because that affects your energy when someone seems annoyed with your very existence.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to bring all the funny, if I have to do all the work, it's not going to be a good segment.
Maybe she was just stone-facing to negotiate for better payment or anything.
Well, do they do it for exposure?
Yeah, we don't pay anything.
It's PBS.
What am I getting paid for this?
You gave me mustard, by the way.
There's a Wi-Fi.
Wild Travels mustard.
I have some Clorox wipes.
And I get nothing.
Here you go.
Clorox wipes.
Need to highlight it.
I don't need your charity.
This is from the Better Business Bureau.
Keep it to yourself. Okay. I don't need that.
The Better Business Bureau has some good swag. They've got chapstick and pens.
Did you want to offer some sticky notes?
Oh yeah, we have some sticky notes from the Better Business Bureau our friend Steve Barnes.
All
right, then here, hand those over to him. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. There you go. See, the fair exchange. So no one can hold us accountable for anything now.
That's right.
We wash
our hands. Done.
Now you can write a sticky note to remind yourself that you don't get paid when you come on this show.
And paste it to my forehead.
It's been funny when somebody, you know, people will say, I'd love to come on your show again, but I'm going to require payment. And it was like, it was lovely having you. It was lovely to know you.
Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Have a good career.
Godspeed. Yeah. Craig, can we play another clip from Will's show, from Wild Travels? I know that we just kind of pulled them, right?
How about something from...
Oh, here we go.
There's something from the first episode. I think you got a thing from the Bug Art Collection.
The Bug Art Collection.
Bug Art.
All right.
You'll have to go to northern Vermont to see the work of 19th century artist John Hampson. But it might be worth the trip when you find out that instead of paint, Hampson used bugs. Thousands and thousands of dead bugs. You know what we're here to see, don't you?
You're here to see the amazing bug art.
Bug art. What year did John Hampson start making the bug art?
He started in the 1870s. Each piece that he made took 3 or 4 years. Collect all the bugs and then meticulously pin them or glue them.
Where did he get his bugs? Did he have a bug guy?
No, he was the bug guy. No, he walked for miles and miles every day with a net and a little bottle of cyanide.
He was a very patriotic guy, apparently. Here we have General Pershing
General Washington.
Have these ever been appraised? Do we know what they're worth?
We've never had them appraised. You know, can you put a price tag on 50,000 insects?
Priceless.
Priceless.
Is it safe to say this is the only guy that was working in this medium ever? Did anybody else make bug art?
There actually is. Making artwork out of butterfly wings is pretty common.
That's just one bug.
One bug.
He used
right.
several. Yes. How did the Fairbanks Museum come into possession of these works of art?
Yeah, these came to the Fairbanks Museum in the early 1970s from the estate of John Hampson's daughter. In fact, they were shopped around to museums across New England and nobody else wanted them.
I find that hard to believe.
Isn't it? It's shocking, isn't it? This is one of our most popular exhibits. People, it has a cult following.
Who's got the last laugh now? Fairbanks Museum does.
That's right. And I would say John Hampson.
Where's the Bug Art Museum?
Fairbanks Museum in I believe it's in Vermont.
In Vermont.
St. Johnsbury, Vermont.
The Bug Art Museum. Now, see, this is the thing about being on the road all the time, Michael.
Yeah.
You've got to go. Now, I think you have to go through the list of things that Will has covered on his show,
yeah.
Wild Travels,
yeah.
Which is on what days on PBS?
It's coming up. The second season re-premieres.
Mm-hmm.
This Saturday, 4:30 in the afternoon, and then Sunday at 11.
Okay.
Remember Wild Chicago used to be on at 10:30 on Sundays?
Yeah, it was late.
It was late.
I watched
now
every
it's
episode.
Even later. Now you're very late.
Yes.
You're somewhat late.
I'm pretty late.
Pretty
you're
late.
Pretty late.
Do your research.
This
pretty
is
pretty late. It's been called that from the beginning.
Really late.
really late.
But stay up. It's worth it. But anyway, our executive producer, Harvey Moshman, our cameraman, Dave Seaman, and I, the three amigos, we travel, you know, usually by plane and then rent a van and go. We were in Vermont for this thing. We were in Florida this year. We were in Pittsburgh. Holy crap, we went to a hilarious the inventors convention in Pittsburgh. Index. And for some reason, a lot of the inventions were toilet related.
Sure.
Wow.
No, I think that there's room for improvement. In
well,
the toilet area.
Apparently there is, because
yes.
there must have been like 12 products that these people were pitching.
Did they have like the squatty potty kind of thing?
Yeah, like what needs were they trying to fulfill?
Was it the flushing
type?
We got a lot of questions
flush.
About the toilet.
There was flip and flush. There
flip
was this
flush.
One thing that was worried about kids missing the toilet bowl. Mm-hmm. So you put this like thing on your thing. And
it's like a funnel. It's
oh.
like a funnel.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think just kids. I think that men could really benefit
yeah.
from something like that.
And you know what? We weren't allowed to keep that in the piece. PBS.
PBS.
Would not let that go.
Oh,
on there.
Well, then here it's so welcome here. What else did you want to talk about with the potties?
Maybe because PBS was investing in it and they didn't want anybody else to invest in that idea.
Oh, maybe.
Here's another one that didn't make it.
I could see that on the side, by the way.
Yeah.
Just the slogan, PBS.com.
Something called Gotta Go.
Okay.
A guy that you put another thing on your thing that leads down to a bag, and you can urinate anywhere.
Okay.
Oh, that's
you
great know. For like football games and stuff.
Right.
Long
you don't have to go
road
to
trips.
An
outhouse. Yeah.
And I said, wow, so you can wear this anyway. And he goes, that's right. I'm wearing one now.
Sure.
And I said, so you could be urinating as we're speaking right now. I could be.
Was it only for men?
It was only for men.
Oh,
is it only for like... number ones, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Oh yeah, hooking that up is more intensive. That's there's a lot
I'm
more.
Saying there's a lot of creative inventors out there.
Oh
I'm
yeah,
not
no,
put it past
I'm not
them.
Saying
not
it can't
that
be done.
Creative.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're judging me. Now we're judging me. You were talking about a funnel for people that can't aim.
No. It's all inside. It's in the bubble. It's all in the
it's
cuddle
all
bubble.
Good.
The cuddle bubble. We're fine. More with Will Klinger and Michael Palasek. We'll hear some more of the interviews that Will Klinger has participated in. Has collected. Some great experiences across our country in just a moment on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
We're heading towards the flavor graveyard.
Right, this is where all the Ben & Jerry's flavors have been retired throughout the years, any that are still not on shelves as an active flavor.
Whose idea was this?
You know, I'm going to throw it back to Ben. He was a guy who's always up for celebrating our failure, so we're like, this is the stuff that just didn't work for whatever reason.
What causes the unpopularity? Bad taste, I suppose.
Yeah, everybody likes something new, but sometimes the combinations you try, you think that would be a winner. The sugar plum over here behind me, you know, it just doesn't work out. You tried caramel and plum, and it's just like, guys, it didn't work that time.
So there's a lot of trial and error, and sometimes it's error.
Yeah, undoubtedly. We've made our mistakes. Then this place up here is full of them.
You know, I think sometimes the name could have sank up, like Tennessee Mud. It doesn't sound appealing.
You don't think mud sounds delicious?
Turtle soup? See, that just doesn't sound right.
There were no turtles harmed in the making of turtle soup.
There were taste buds offended,
I'm sure. Here's one that lasted only a year, Ms. Jelena's sweet potato pie.
Right, so you read the inscription, one potato, two potatoes, sweet potato pie. No one could appreciate it, so we had to let it die.
Do people show up here and maybe see one of their favorite flavors and leave something at the grave or anything?
Oh, it's not uncommon to come up and find people, like, you know, bowed down one knee, and you just check and like, hey, are you doing okay? And they're like, I just need a moment, please, just a moment with my flavor. So, I mean, look, there's flowers right over here next to peanut butter and jelly, and that was a terrible flavor.
Not for somebody.
That's Will Klinger, the host of Wild Travels at the Ben & Jerry's Flavor Graveyard, as he travels around the country finding all the eccentric elements that you might not be aware of. I mean, this is a great way for people to discover America. You know, like diners and drive-ins, people, they use that as a way, as, you know, destinations. They check them off. I think that they should use your show as places to check off. I have to go to this. Well, that sounds like a weird play.
If you want, if you're sick of the mainstream, if you, you know, get off the beaten track a little bit, and you want to see the weird underbelly of places like, you know, we could have gone to the Ben & Jerry's store. No, we went to the Flavor Graveyard.
Flavor Graveyard.
It sounds like you guys go to the places, like, you'll be driving down the road and you see a billboard and you're like, oh, that sounds interesting, but I don't know if I want to waste that time to find out that it's nothing. But you guys go there and see if we should waste our time, basically.
I like that.
That's one way of putting it.
Yes.
Is that a positive spin? A horrible word of wasting?
Look,
it's a good show, but I'm saying, like, you guys.
Well, here's the thing about, like, okay, South Dakota, right? The wall drug. Of South, I mean, you start seeing those signs. Have you ever been to the Wall Drug in South Dakota?
No, I don't know what the Wall Drug is.
What career have you had? What, you know, the road career. But there's a place called, there's a Wall Drug South. It's
famous.
Yes, and it's like this old Western town, and it's a very strange, eclectic. If you had a chance, go to Wall Drug. Because I think people kind of know it. They've seen the signs, but I don't think enough people understand.
Is the Corn Palace in South Dakota?
That's in Nebraska.
Wait, what? Patty, I feel like you've lived his show.
I may have. You know what else? There's a restaurant in, I want to say Minot, North Dakota, that had the best soups. They had, like, it was the first place I ever had turtle soup. And, like, stuff like, there are weird places.
There was an ice cream flavor that was in the graveyard, turtle soup. I swear to God.
Yeah, I heard them say that on the thing. That
it originated from Minot, North Dakota, I think. Yeah.
Is the Corn Palace made out of corn?
Yes.
It's a palace.
It's a palace made out of corn in Nebraska.
And there is there a queen and a king of the palace, or is it uninhabited?
I've only driven by. I have to wait for Will's show to see if it's worth wasting my time there.
We went to another amazing palace, the Gold Palace of the Hare Krishna people.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
It's in the middle of the mountains of West Virginia. There is a Hare Krishna community in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia, who knows?
But
it's real estate values.
It's called New Vrindavan. And it features this amazing gold palace made of gold.
Wow.
And,
is all the furniture gold too, or is it?
Pretty much. I mean, the toilet is gold. You know, it's one of these things.
Wow.
And
But does it have a flip and flush?
Yeah, sounds like one of the inventions.
It does not have.
That's why they need someone to not miss.
But did you know, I found something interesting when I was doing that piece. Did you know why those people have just the little ponytails, the bald heads and the ponytails?
No.
It's so that Krishna can grab their ponytails and jerk them out of the material world.
Okay.
It's has he done that?
Has he done that?
Well, that's their god. I don't know what he's been up to, but apparently,
really,
I never knew that was sort of an interesting little sideline.
Yeah.
By the way, before we move on from Ben & Jerry's Flavor Graveyard, you have a sugar plum
plums
story.
Was one of the names that was in.
And I could see chocolate and plums not working out as an ice cream flavor.
I went to go get groceries, some Trader Joe's, and I always text my brother and my mom to see if they want anything if I'm in the area, because you know it's nice to do. And my brother's like, I want sugar plums. Or maybe we're going to Whole Foods. I was like, okay, that sounds weird.
Is he like a Christmas thing?
Well, he eats really healthy. And I was like, maybe this is
like dancing in his head?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. It was like he was making fun of me. There are no sugar plums. That's not a thing that they sell at Whole Foods ever. He just thought that'd be fun. So I went up and asked the guy that worked there. I was like, do you guys have sugar plums?
He sent you on a fool's errand?
Uh-huh.
He
involved like a half of the Whole Foods staff because we were like, I don't think we have those here.
I would have just bought some plums and a bag of sugar and been like, hey, good luck.
Yeah, I didn't get him anything. It didn't exist. He thought that was
very
funny.
Duped.
That I believed. I was duped.
Hoodwinked.
I don't like that. I'm so glad I'm an only child.
Yeah, brothers
do
that.
Do you have siblings, Will?
I have three siblings.
You do?
Older sister, younger brother, younger sister.
And are you from Chicago originally?
No, came from Warren, Pennsylvania, 15,000 friendly people. Wow. It's what it says in the sign. Welcome to Warren.
I thought that was coming from you, organically.
15,000 friendly people.
15,000 friendly
people. One rude guy.
And somebody spray painted and one real asshole. Can you say that?
You have to go around town like, yes. You have to go around town going, is it you? Is it you? No, it's the guy who spray painted it, maybe.
It's the guy who really is really nice.
Outing himself on that. Yeah. What brought you to Chicago?
You know what? I was in Washington, D.C. writing direct mail copy, and I saw a touring company of the Second City, and I said, that's what I should be. I was right out of college, and I was like, I want to do that.
Hey. Yeah.
And I swear to God, I called Second City the next day, and Del Close answered the phone.
Wow.
No.
I swear to God, Del Close answered the phone and told me exactly what I should do. I should come and take classes at Second City. He couldn't have been more friendly. People always thought he was a curmudgeon. He couldn't have been nicer to me.
Like, got him on a good day.
So in a month, I'd moved to Chicago, and that was the beginning of my career.
And this Friday, we'll talk about what's coming up with Mark Roberts and the Lost Pilots at the Annoyance Theater. I know I'm teasing everybody.
Oh, yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. My guest, Will Klinger, host of Wild Travels. Michael Palasak performing in Danville, Indiana tomorrow night at the Royal Theater. Go to royaltheaterdanville.info for more information.
Of the many festivals we attend, none has a more objectionable premise than the one held annually in Fruta, Colorado, celebrating a barnyard accident that occurred decades ago.
Mike Nedler's Chicken Festival started back in 1999 in a way to honor the will to live of Mike, the infamous chicken who lived for 18 months after his head was cut off.
My grandfather would cut the heads off and flip them over there, let them bleed out. My grandmother would start, do the cleaning, and then when he got done killing, he'd help her clean. They got down to the last one, they saw I'd one alive, and he figured he'd see if it lived till morning. And it did. So the next day, started showing people the chicken, and everybody thought it was interesting, and then a gentleman from Salt Lake, he was in the business of doing sideshows, and he convinced my grandparents that they ought to start on the sideshow circuit. When my grandfather cut the head off, he either missed or whacked a little high, and he left the base of the brain stem and one eardrum. I still own the famous axe that decapitated Mike. Got it hung up on the wall of my shop out at the farm.
Mike achieved considerable notoriety during his short life, including this spread in Life magazine. He finally succumbed to his injuries when the eyedropper used to keep his tiny esophagus clear couldn't be found. And the rooster that brought so much inspiration to so many choked to death. But he didn't die in vain. His spirit lives on in the hearts and minds of all the citizens in this small Colorado town, whose slogan could possibly be, "Come to Fruta, it's a no-brainer."
There's never been any documented proof of another chicken that lived losing its head.
I don't even know. I don't know what to say. Will.
How do you follow the headless chicken?
I don't know how you follow the headless chicken.
I feel like some professional sports team needs to have that as a mascot.
That's an intense... Right, it's not offensive to anybody. It's just a little bit dark.
He was really more scalped than beheaded.
Right?
Because if you still have your brain parts and you still have an eardrum,
You barely have a brain part. I think it's just a brain stem.
But isn't that what keeps even us, breathing and blinking? I'm not a doctor.
It's just part of our brain. We can survive on part of our brain.
Lower stem part, right?
Yeah, possibly make better choices in life with less.
But it sounds like this guy was walking around and stuff.
Yes, he was. He was in a sideshow for a while. He made it, sort of the circuit of vaudeville circuit with the no head. So it must have been a hell of an act.
Yeah
that's impressive and of notoriety, no less.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I like it. Will Klinger hosts Wild Travels on PBS, 4:30 on Saturdays, 11:00 on Sundays.
And something you should note, Patty, is that we premiere this the second season. Starts re-airing this weekend, but then we skip a week because TTW has preempts us for some paid programming, and then so the second week comes back on the 24th of September.
I like to think that PBS viewers and WGN listeners will forgive the gap if week to week.
Let's hope they do.
We'll see.
Yeah.
They won't walk away. Hey, what? Not this week? they'll come back.
They won't be up in arms.
They won't be up.
Is there a place to watch the first season?
Are you having a viewing party?
You know what? You can't watch the first season. Uh-huh. Although if you miss the second season, you can go to wildtravelstv.com and get it on our
yeah.
get on our website. But the first season, it's gone. You can't find it.
What? Yeah. Do you have access to it?
I Will? Do have access.
can you hook us up with your Vimeo password or something?
I don't know.
Perhaps you're sitting on a gold mine, my friend.
Hey, I gave her some mustard. What else do you want?
I have Wild Travels mustard from the Mustard Museum. Where is the Mustard Museum?
That is in Wisconsin. I think it's...
Why don't they have their... you can go to mustardmuseum.com. Everyone can go to mustardmuseum.com and find out where... By the way, your
that
website...
That was last season, yeah.
Is it still good? I think mustard lasts, right? It's got enough vinegar in it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I just threw away some mustard that expired last month.
I meant to say the episode aired last season. This was from recent. Don't worry about that. That's fine.
Okay,
I
believe you
will. Mustard's good.
I don't believe you.
Just
throw it out the window.
They're just covering their butt, you know.
Expiration dates are just
yeah, they're just covering themselves. It's like the symptoms list on the pill commercial.
Yeah, the side effects on,
you're fine.
Do you think they're covering themselves or they want you to throw it away sooner so you buy another one?
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're,
I think the answer is yes.
I think both. Yeah.
Why can't we just trust people?
Can I throw something at him?
Men, that's why. We know.
Can I throw things at him? Because he's just too sweet.
He'll probably catch it mustard.
And think it's a sport. Not the mustard. Actually, you and I have something coming up this Friday at the Annoyance Theater.
The Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts.
And Mark Roberts. Yeah, I know. It sounds so mysterious. Not like, these aren't pilots that like mysterious right. like the Bermuda Triangle.
It's not Amelia Earhart story.
Yeah. No, these are...
They were written and never saw the air, but they should have because the two that I'm in are hilarious.
They're very funny. Oh.
One of them was written for, Harvey Keitel, and Roberts told me when we were doing that play, he told me that Keitel's wife talked him out of doing sitcoms.
Oh.
She said, that's a bad career move. So that's the reason that pilot never saw the light.
Yeah,
of day.
Melissa McCarthy, her career is just going nowhere as a result of the show Mark Roberts created.
Girl.
Yeah.
Poor,
Mike and Molly, right.
Yes.
Poor woman.
Yeah.
How many pilots are showing?
There's going to be three of them, right?
Wow.
And you're in two of them, right?
I am in two of them.
I think we're in the same ones.
You're
in...
Well, you have to be if both of you are in two. I just did the math.
Math minor.
But we might be in different ones because there's three. You see?
Yeah, but if you're both in two,
we have to at least cross at least one. It's like what's that? The
Venn diagram.
There's going to be one magical one.
Yeah, we each have two circles. And at some point...
Well, I'll come for that
one. Is this an Angie McMahon project?
Who's Angie?
Oh, never mind. She thought of something like this a while ago, and I didn't know if it was this.
It's actually Mike McCarthy, a guy that...
Oh, yeah.
He used to be a writer out in L.A. Susan Messing's husband.
I took his writing class at I.O. It was really good.
Yeah.
There you go.
My old roommate took his writing screenplay class, and he did a pilot.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm wonderful. I'm just soaking it all in, man.
No, me too. I'm like, they
never had
writing
the patience
classes.
For a pilot.
It's a lot.
We just took over.
A lot of people. It's all right.
I just have so much respect for that. Like, there's so many people in this world that are like, oh, I'm funny, and even get to the point where maybe they write out 5 minutes of being funny and attempt that a few times. But to the wherewithal and the stick-to-itness that requires like writing something out and getting it to anyone to see ever, I would assume is very hard.
I think Michael McCarthy said that in class about the idea of sitting down to write a screenplay is like a very American, like, I'm starting a business without anybody interested in this thing at all.
Entrepreneurship.
Yeah. That's going to take a lot of time.
Well, sitting in front of a blank screen or in front of a blank sheet of paper can be daunting for some people, and other people see it as an invitation to create something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Actually, and the script is an invitation for a whole bunch of people, the cast and the crew.
Yeah. And the production company to change everything you create.
You have to watch your babies be murdered.
Now who's the cynic?
Sure.
Don't
make
your chickens. Head hurts. Head hurts.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine. I've recovered.
Yeah, I never experienced it, but it sounds like, you...
Yeah, well, you know, I was just glad that I sold a development deal for my pilot for a sitcom, but I was just glad that I got to keep my core of my family. Everything else was changed.
You didn't have to, kill anybody else.
No, I didn't have to kill anybody. It was all fine.
Well, there's only one kid in the show.
Yeah, no. No, that's true. I had one kid.
You only had one?
Yeah.
Yes,
it's both of you.
No, but the idea was that the whole series for a long time would be that my husband wants to have another, and I don't.
Yeah,
so that would be that was kind of one of the running things. Is like he's always like I want to get lucky, but I don't want him to get lucky. Like I don't want him to hit the pot of gold with another kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I'm taking the birth control. He thinks that we're trying to have another. Yeah, that was one of the running gags.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of manipulative.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least it was manipulative in that way and not the opposite way.
Where you're trying to have a baby.
Yeah, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Fine gender reversal.
It is.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good call. Yeah.
That's what the series is about. I was the head of household. I'm the, I was the breadwinner and all, well, which I am. So that was, but, so to our point about Lost Pilots.
Please be the breadwinner. Please.
There are all these great stories that are created and go a certain way, you know, to the point of even like getting someone attached, like Matthew Broderick or Andrew Dice Clay or Harvey Keitel. And, you know, so this is a great way to see what happens, what that story would have been or should have been.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll be doing that at the Annoyance Theater. This
7 o'clock, right?
So, yes.
Friday.
And people can go to theannoyance.com. There will be three pilots. Will Klinger is going to be starring, as well as Tim Kazurinsky, Paul Lisnick.
Oh, wow.
Danny Rhodes, Mike Toomey, Patty Vasquez. Oh, that's weird. Kathy Garver, who played Sissy on Family Affair, by the way.
Oh. Bingo.
Yes. Very excited. So.
Francis Guinan, Steppenwolf actor.
There
wow.
you go.
Wow.
Damon Royster.
I feel like this is going to be better than like the TV shows that are on TV.
It all just gets to exist right there. So that
Andrew
will be.
Andrew Dice Clay, eat your heart out. This is a better cast. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that like it's one thing to have a great story, but it does come down sometimes to who you can attach.
Yeah.
Like what big names you can have, and even producers. People were emailing me because Minnie Driver has a show called Speechless about a mom who is raising a child with a disability that is similar to my son's.
Yeah.
And people are like, did they steal your idea? No, one of the producers from Friends is his sibling has special needs.
Yeah.
So it's there is that idea of parallel experiences.
Yeah. And so his son stole your pilot.
I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah.
He wrote it. He's doing okay.
It's fine. It's all fine. So that's going to be The Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts this Friday at the Annoyance Theater. Go to theannoyance.com. But tickets are going quick. I don't even know. See how I corrected myself?
That was great.
Yeah. I know. That's because I diagrammed
it. It's always good to correct yourself. I feel like whenever I catch myself on stage, I don't just blow past it because somebody caught it and they're going to think that you're lying to yourself and the world by not correcting it.
Correct quickly.
Or that you're dumb.
Just blunt ignorance is safer for me.
Maybe that's more relatable. Maybe that's
I'm the common man who talks stupid. Yeah.
Do you correct yourself, Will? Do you ever find yourself correcting verbs or adjectives or adverbs?
I just blatantly lie.
Do you
and stick to it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is I think if you commit, that's really the.
When you did the show, were there a lot of takes involved, or was it just sort of like
for
a
while
the interview?
There's no second takes.
Oh wow!
I don't know if you're telling the truth or not.
But you see, I then get to edit my own because I produce
Liar.
The show.
Oh, I'm wow!
So I get to go in the editing and I can cut out all the stupid stuff that I say.
Nice.
So
are Wild Chicago episodes available?
No, sadly no.
Do you have a Vimeo account for that too?
You know, if you go to YouTube and go to Wild Chicago, you can probably dig up something.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
But TTW owns all that stuff.
They need like an app.
Yeah.
You had some great co-hosts as well, like Cassie Harlow.
Correspondents.
Yes.
Cassie Harlow was a great
see?
One. Mindy Bell.
Mindy was fit, and it was always great to see her like in a national commercial. She's still working with the red glasses and the.
Oh, yeah.
She's very talented.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to describe. I'm a big fan of Wild Chicago.
Remember Tava Smiley?
I do remember Tava Smiley.
She ended up being on a big soap opera, didn't she, right after that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've bred some interesting talents.
I almost screamed when he came out on stage for New Country because I knew he was in the cast, but I was like, hey, that's Wild Chicago. Big fan. There's a lot of big fans. I'm sure that you get it all the time.
I'm flattered. I'm glad you reacted that way.
Absolutely. I didn't scream at you. That would have been... hold on. We're going to continue our conversation. Okay, do you have a few more minutes?
Yeah.
You
sure?
All right. More after this on 720 WGN.
The Florida state reptile must surely be the alligator, and the biggest concentration of the species can be found at Gatorland in Orlando. We got up close and personal with the star attractions and are pleased to say that we came away with all of our extremities and a newfound respect for these grinning gargantuans.
Hey, Mark McHugh.
Hey, Will, how you doing?
We're the alligator capital of the world.
And proud of it.
Proud of it.
Is this safe, Mark? We're a little close.
Define safe. We'll teach them not to come past these lines that you see in the sand.
What if we went across that line?
You would get eaten.
Okay.
That's the line of safety. Line of death if you're on that side. Line of safety if you're on this side.
Mark, be honest with me. Have you ever had one of these things escape?
Not that we admit. This is actually a leucistic alligator. It's different from an albino. They have blue eyes instead of pink eyes. Cajun folklore says good fortune comes to those lucky enough to stare into the blue eyes of the white alligator. That's cool, isn't it? We made that up. But hey, man, it works. It works.
That's Will Klinger, the host of Wild Travels, every Saturday at 4:30 and 11 o'clock on Sundays on PBS. It's here in Chicago on Channel 11. If people are watching online, can they go? Well, they can visit the website, wildtravelstv.com.
Yeah,
go check out all the upcoming episodes. They can't have my mustard. That's
what I love that guy at Gatorland.
Oh, my God.
He seemed like he was really happy to talk to you. Like,
oh, he was
just
very.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could. I would feel comfortable if someone told me.
Well, because how do they know that that's the line? Like, somebody obviously crossed it at some point.
Laws of probability. The math over time is.
They have an actuary. That guy has an actuary?
Well, Mark went up for 3 inches past the line.
Man. And coming up on Friday, Will Klinger and I, along with a cast of tremendous tremendously talented performers, will be at the Annoyance Theater to perform to read The Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts. And that's going to be, again, 7 o'clock at the Annoyance Theater. Go to theannoyance.com. I saw you perform in New Country, and it's such a, and I know we talked about this when you were on last, it's such an intimate experience. About 30, 40 seats fit into that?
Oh, no, there was like 60, but it was... like on either side of the stage, it was like the stage was between these two sections of the audience. So you were right in our laps when you're in the audience.
Well, and because you obviously it's Mark Roberts' script, there are some very intense, you know, dramatic moments. And anything that throws, I was there on a night when someone's cell phone went off.
Across, you were there that night.
I was there that night, and I was so glad it wasn't mine. First of all, I saw the guy across the stage from me because you could see people on the other side. Because for what we do, Michael Palasek and Brandon C. Price and Samantha, we all do live performances that are somewhat interactive. You can kind of you can break,
you can work that in.
Yeah, but
You can make fun of the person.
Yeah,
yeah. It was
and
so.
You
will. It was
Patti LuPone them
right, and it was because you can break into song yourself if somebody's take their phone.
When they did War Paint, I went to the first preview of War Paint. And I'll save my thoughts about it to myself. That's not the point of the story. The guy came out and, I mean, literally had an extra 5-minute speech about how, like, look, guys, I know it's all fun. I know we always say this, but, like, seriously, take out the phones right now. And I shot in the dark that it was because LuPone has had that issue before.
Yeah. No, it's intense because it was a dramatic moment. I thought that it was the sound cue somehow. Like there was supposed to be music in that moment. And then I
remember it went on for a while.
He didn't turn it off. Yes.
For like several, like it seemed like 30 seconds.
And it was an incredibly intense moment. Yes. I was there that night.
Yeah. Mark Roberts was not happy when we got backstage after that. I remember.
It was still a tremendous performance.
Did he walk? Yeah. Did he go to all the performances?
He was in it.
He
played the lead. And by the way, he's Jeff nominated.
Wow.
For best supporting actor. How they could call him the best supporting actor?
It would be the country singer.
I guess
see
the country singer was the lead.
Yeah, that's the way I think that they would look at that.
He got Heath Ledger'd.
He got Heath Ledger'd.
Like the Joker and the Batman, he was supporting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But oh, I mean, man, that's crazy. I didn't know. I just watched that. That's bonkers.
Right?
But it would be the same thing because they also think of it because it's such a wild character. It seems so, you know, bizarre.
Since it's not
can't
the straight
be the lead.
Role or whatever.
Yeah, he can't be the lead.
Yeah. Right.
He's not the bright and shiny one. Uh-huh. He's kind of like
tall enough.
Well, and also I think, and it should be the way he enters the play. It should be obvious that he then becomes the lead character.
He takes over that show.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So your show, Wild Travels. What else can we expect? Do we know if there's a third season?
We don't know yet. Okay. Well, our real goal is to go national at this point. We want to get a corporate underwriting to take this show to a national PBS.
How do you go to corporations and say, hey, do you go door to door? Do you email? Do you go on my show and say, hey?
You get a guy that goes around to, I think, pitch your show to various possible corporate underwriters.
That guy sounds expensive.
Well, only if he's on commission. If he's on commission, then you're fine.
He's on commission.
There you go. So get that sold. That's the way you do that.
So every PBS in like the country would have it.
And we've got PBS affiliates all over the country that are asking to air it.
Yeah.
But it's got to be paid for, you know.
So. Yeah.
Well, Will Klinger's show Wild Travels broadcasts on PBS on Saturdays at 4:30, on Sundays at 11 p.m. Michael Palasek also has a show tomorrow night at the Royal Theater in Danville.
Danville, Indiana, right outside of Indianapolis.
And there's a VIP.
Yeah, there's meet a meet and greet, I think, at 5:30.
All right.
Next door at the bed and breakfast.
Well, make sure you go to royaltheaterdanville.info for more information. Yeah. Samantha, I didn't want to leave you out. Was there anything you wanted to promote? Because I know you guys are driving out early tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll promote. So I'm on a sketch comedy team in Los Angeles. It's a bunch of my friends from the Groundlings Theater there, and then a bunch of people from Second City IO and Annoyance here, who've since moved to Los Angeles. Our sketch team is called Panties on a Budget Comedy.
And do you guys have videos online?
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel. We need subscribers because we've been getting a lot of great Facebook, whatever, react interaction things happening. But then I've got to do YouTube now because we're getting a website, and that's exciting.
So everyone go to YouTube and find Panties on a Budget.
Yeah.
Other things might pop up, but look for Samantha's.
I play Ivanka Trump in some videos, and then a few other things.
Well, safe travels to both of you. Look forward to having you back. And you, safe travels, Mr. Will. I'll see you on Friday.
I'll see you Friday night.
I'll see you Friday night at the Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts at the Annoyance Theater. We have guests in the green room. More when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, writing Sidecar. He is the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show at MCL every Friday and Saturday night at 10:30. Do you have the cabaret show going?
We're actually going to do it's going to come out as a holiday special. So
that's right.
Just frickin' prepare yourself.
All right, then. I will frickin' prepare myself. I don't know why that had to be so aggressive, but I'll prepare myself frickin'ly. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. That could go a bad way. I need to make sure I watch
that.
What
you need. To
go to vampchicago.com for ticket information, and think of Wayne Brady and Whose Line Is It if everyone was drinking.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. I like all that. Kevin Naughton hosts Snapshots.
Yes.
On Monday, the second Monday of the month. What Monday do you have?
It's generally the second Monday.
At Zany's.
And by the way, the ice cream flavors you guys were talking about earlier.
Sugar plum?
The ones that didn't make it, I found out it was, bug spray vanilla. Never made it through.
For obvious reasons.
It's just the sound of it apparently didn't go well.
That's something you can never shake off especially I've had that happen a couple times this summer. That and a couple of tea flavors. It tasted like bug spray.
That right?
It was not officially called bug spray, but I suspect that it was similarly chemicalized. Jeannie Dugan and Paul Farvar have a show. It's all comics. It's all performers in studio tonight. Jeannie Dugan and Paul Farvar have their show. Dugan and Farvar, or Farvar and Dugan. Dugan and Farvar. We haven't decided yet at the Laugh Factory.
Dugan and friend is good.
Oh, wow. Animosity has developed.
Yeah.
No. Developed.
Wow. Now,
it's been going for some time.
Oh, wow.
It's Farvar and Dugan is the way that it's officially marked. But,
Well,
we can agree to disagree all we want.
What is it on the flyers?
You know how it is, Patty.
Kevin, can you hook her up with you brought some tasty treats for
yes,
you don't want me to say where from, so that's very, I don't know. All right.
Perfect.
All right, then. The Laugh Factory. Brandon, have you had a chance to go to the Laugh Factory Comedy Club?
I have.
It's a really beautiful place. It used to be a movie theater, and then it was the Lakeshore Theater.
That's right.
And it has become a great comedy club here in Chicago. Parking is get there early.
Yeah.
Get there early and make sure you stick out a spot.
Definitely. Or just walk. You could just walk.
Oh, walk. Take public transportation.
Uber is always an option.
You're right. Get dropped off.
By Uber, yeah.
So yeah.
Are you sponsored by Uber?
No, we're not.
Oh, I was going to say that's some good negotiation.
You can take Lyft too. But
yeah, Lyft is fine.
My dad works for Uber.
Your mom could drive you. Paul. Your mom could drive you.
My mom drives me everywhere. Yeah, it's safer that way.
Do you ride in the front or in the back?
It depends on how much she's had to drink. But basically, let's see how
if she's hanging out with Paul, it's a lot.
Yeah, she's my best friend.
But then where do you sit front? If she's drinking, then you're in the back in order to...
I'm in the front if she's drinking because I have to kind of steer and make sure things are right.
Gotcha.
I saw a country squire paneled wagon kind of weaving around the streets of Chicago earlier.
I miss those.
Do you?
Those were great. Remember the rear-facing seat? Do you remember it had a bench seat in the back?
They were guaranteed car sickness seats.
And but it was fun to mess with drivers.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what you
did. Making faces and stuff. I mean,
until a fender bender broke all your legs.
I did not. It never happened to me. All everybody's legs. God, it is amazing what we got away with in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I don't even know about the 90s. When did it stop?
It also went well
in the 90s. I think it stopped in the 80s.
In the 80s?
Right?
I think it was.
What stopped?
Every one of our
seatbelts ruined everything.
Seatbelts and
though,
warnings
right?
on cigarette packages. Yeah.
You think in the 90s that it was...
Like to me, my little sister, who's 11 years younger, has had it way easier and had all these amazing things. And I'm thinking I played with a ball attached to a cup. You know what I mean? And you have a smartphone. But I feel like my parents look at me and they laugh and... Every generation thinks, well, it was hard when I was doing it, but it seems really easy now.
That's
right.
A good point. I remember, my mother is from Leipzig, and she had to, when she was 25, she had to crawl to her freedom under barbed wire in the mud. And then you start looking, like you say, you put everything in perspective. Yeah. Like, what happened when I was 25? Yeah. I had a can of beer explode in my face. You know, I mean, it's
my battery died.
I'm I was car sick in the back of the station wagon, and you're telling the story about your mother. God bless her.
Yeah, I know. That was, well, that's what I like about it. Segways are us. That's, you just never know exactly what direction you're going in.
I don't know. Does anyone have story toppers?
Story toppers?
Because my mom was, my grandmother dropped my mom and her sister off at an orphanage for a couple of years so she could could pursue a career in acting in Mexico City.
Wow. You could do that? Wow.
Yeah. Wait, in Mexico, you could.
Mom kind of had that situation.
Hold on, too. Hold on, Esmeralda. Yes, Esmeralda?
My mom kind of had that situation, too.
Did she? What?
She kind of, my grandma was kind of sick, so they sent her and someone else off to it was nuns.
So you could do this, Kevin, with the nuns.
Yeah, it was nuns.
Just drop them off.
And they treated them awful, and then they escaped.
Yes. Yeah, well, my mom didn't know that was an option. How did they escape from the orphanage?
Because my mom was younger, I think, and she was with an older, and they ran away, and they went back home.
Wow.
And they were like, what are you doing here?
And I wonder how long they would have stayed there had they not escaped.
I don't know. I don't know what had happened, but my grandma was sick. Like, my mom never...
Was this in Mexico?
Exactly. Yes.
My mom and your mom should talk.
I know. Oh, they'd have some stories.
Wouldn't it be weird if your mom and my mom were related?
They...
No.
I mean, who knows?
When did your mom move here?
60s? Somewhere?
This could be weird. All right. Yeah. So, I don't think... My mom didn't escape from the orphanage. So, I don't...
She was very young, too, my mom.
All right. So, anyway, Esmeralda and I will reconnect on that story later and see if I think that we might have a story there. My mom hasn't talked to her sister in a long time. Does your mom keep in touch with her sister?
Yeah, no, she's got like 5 of them.
Okay. All right, fine then. What happened? Well, the other siblings weren't dropped off at the orphanage?
No, I don't think they existed yet.
Oh, okay.
She's fine, of then. The older ones.
Jeannie wants to know if this is an option in the United States. Has this been
not
an option?
Not for real.
Not for real? No.
Your
kids are asleep. You can say whatever you want.
They, I don't think they would be allowed to stay.
The nuns would be like, no, you got to take them back.
Vamanos. Let us go. Is that how you say it?
I don't think that's accurate.
I took Latin in high school, not Spanish. I was a National Latin Scholar, but we're not here to talk about that. So
we're here to talk about everyone's shows that are coming up.
That's right.
Yeah. And Jeannie, you and I had a show. We did Nick's Mom Night Out. Yeah. And it's on my DVR, so my son will watch it once in a while. Does your son watch your material? Do your kids watch your material?
I forced them to watch it. And
for notes? What?
Yeah. They were like, why weren't you telling jokes? You were just talking about things. That's what they said to me.
Because we're not always, sometimes we're just comedy reporters.
Yeah.
We just tell people what happened.
It's just exactly what happened with a little bit of exaggeration.
And yeah. Paul, do you have any material that offends family? Sorry, Kevin. I'll get back to you next.
Yeah, I try not to offend people, but I seem to offend people all the time.
Right.
I think Jeannie and I do a podcast called Singles Only, too. And I feel like that I offend a lot of people on that show.
Well,
and Jeannie's the voice of reason on that show. And she tells me I'm offensive, so.
Well, he's offensive in the dating realm, but your comedy's not really offensive.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, family members are like, that's not what happened.
My mom and dad always say, I don't remember that. I'm like, well, you weren't there, really. You weren't paying attention.
That's...
But, yeah, I tell true stories about my family all the time. And then they've seen a couple shows, and they've decided not to come back.
So. Oh.
Hey, Paul,
it's true.
We're trying to plug a show here.
Yeah, yeah.
We want.
Well,
no, but that's his family members.
They're in Florida.
Come see what Paul's family refuses to watch anymore. Yeah. I think that's a poll.
Shocking details.
Yes.
Shocking details that they say never happened. But I mean, my parents were. I had a privileged childhood, I would say, compared to most. But they're constantly disappointed by me, and they try to act like they're not. So. That's the best way to put it. They're like, we didn't do that. I'm like, yeah, you did. So.
I like that you said privileged childhood. Like, Paul got to ride forward facing in the station.
Yeah, we didn't have, we were pigs up in limos. So, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. But.
Kevin, have you had your mom see the show and some of the antics that you describe in your relationship with your mom?
Yes, my mother. As a matter of fact, it's funny, the other week I finally got a chance to hang around the house a little bit more often, and my mother is pushing 90.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yes, she's pushing 90. She still have tons of energy.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the thick German accent, and the other day I was hanging around the house with her, and she still hunts flies. You know, when the fly comes in the house, my mother, she just sees it buzzing around, and the woman's amazed. She goes, there's a fly in the house. And then she reaches for a magazine or a paper or anything she can roll up, and she goes after that thing, and you would think she's 40 years younger.
Sure.
She's chasing it down. And says, I got him! Look! I got him!
It's victorious, of course.
Apparently, that's a wonderful thing, and I didn't know about it.
Hey, it's the little victories throughout life, you know?
That's what I'm noticing about
it. It makes you feel young.
Yeah.
I see Christmas presents for her, too, right? Just get her a bunch of fly swatters.
She doesn't use a fly swatter. Have you never thought about getting her? Now, at this point, I mean, it's nice because they're whippy.
I did a gig one time. I'm glad you guys are bringing this up. This is going into another one because I did a gig one time in Minocqua, Wisconsin, up there, a resort town. During the summer, I checked into the hotel, and the complimentary gift at the front desk was a fly swatter.
Nice. Yeah. What's that tell you about your room?
I was not looking forward to the room.
So we can get you some bed bug spray as well.
That's right. And here's some instructions on how to capture a bat. That's happened to me in Wisconsin.
How to capture a bat. Thank you.
Have you ever been trapped in a room with a bat?
No.
Oh. What do you do in a bat situation? Because it did not end well.
The bat's not coming for you.
I can't go to sleep.
Wow!
You wink at the bat and go, "We're good, right?"
Yeah, right. That's what you do. Exactly.
Advice on so many animals is just It's like people. We all walk around thinking, "Oh man, everyone's thinking about what I'm doing right now." That guy is his face is because I've done something. No one's thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. That bat doesn't give a crap that you're there.
You think you go to sleep with a bat in your room?
I mean, what? So.
What kind of confidence does that take to live your life that way? I cannot imagine that.
Let me be fair. This is not some sort of, oh my gosh, that guy's so brave and confident. That's most certainly not what it is.
You don't know what to do with a bat, do you? This is why you go to sleep with a bat.
I don't know what to do. This is not my business.
Okay, well, my family was not pleased with the way I handled the bat situation because my husband's solution was to take the screens off the window. He had one, I had one, and he was shimmying the bat toward me. I was supposed to shimmy it out the window, and
I would have rather been on the first.
Yeah, you got the wrong idea.
He's like flicking it at me, and we do this for about 20 minutes. And every time he shimmies it toward me, I duck. Because it flaps at me, and then we go back at it. And he's like, "You're not guiding it out the window." So he shimmies it at me one more time, and I just swing away.
Those are mammals. They can feel.
I know PETA is listening right now, all going to get sued.
They were being shimmied at me. I don't do well with bats coming at me. If I have an object in my hand,
We used to get them in our attic all the time in Alabama. And, you know, when you're getting ready for Christmas, you just open the attic and you just kind of walk away for a while. Leave the doors open. It's like when you light your chimney for the first time. You just light it a little bit so all the squirrels and stuff that are nesting in there can get out before you kill them.
Esmeralda, can we get a...
Chimneys and bats. Alabama.
Esmeralda's she's trying to eat.
Have you been to the Brookfield Zoo? They have a whole thing with bats.
Don't they have a cow at that zoo?
It's Lincoln Park.
A cow at a zoo.
Yeah.
Are there people going, oh my God.
There's a farm area. They have goats and chickens and rabbits.
That's not what a zoo is.
Well, there's a lot of city folk here know where milk
comes
from.
So I should charge people to go to farm.
There's a guy that used to live next door to my ma, and they had to demolish the house because this dude was one of these, in Chicago, in the city proper, right next door, the guy had a goat, had chickens, he had a rooster, you know, like in the summertime at 5 o'clock.
Oh, no.
At five o'clock in the morning, the sun's coming up, so the rooster starts to crow. This one started warming up at 4 a.m.
No.
Did you see a little peak of some sort of light? Mm-mm. And he would say, I nicknamed the rooster Frank Sinatra because he'd start warming up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No. My boyfriend's neighbors, they got a rooster.
They do?
It's quite lovely. You hear it like...
How could that be okay with, like, city ordinances?
Oh, no, people have chicken coops.
Yeah, in my neighborhood, there's pygmy goats, apparently.
Oh, the donkey chickens.
Did they have a donkey or no? It was a goat. I know what family you're talking about.
Yeah, that was...
And there's no room for them to go anywhere. It's not like they lived on acres of city property.
These were sick, demented people.
See?
Half of them are now in prison where they belong. The house has been demolished.
And, Brandon, that's how animals end up at the farm zoo. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm surrounded by comedians. We have Brandon C. Price, who is the mastermind CEO and performer of Vamp. You can go to vampchicago.com for more information about this fantastic, the best music, comedy, and drinking show in Chicago. I have never been anywhere else to see a show like that. So I'm
no,
go.
You're right, though. It's absolutely the best.
I'm going to have to go say the whole country. I'm just gonna make that blanket
statement.
Yeah,
Shot in the Dark, I think that actually came through scientifically as well. The best in the country.
Yeah, I think quantitatively.
I mean, you come and decide for yourself. You let me know if I'm right.
Yeah, and you can be part of the show. That's the fun part, too. You never know.
Your cards, right?
I'm just saying. It's a great place to celebrate, too, if you've got a bachelorette party, graduation.
Can I give away a thing?
Hopefully
they're not listening. We may or may not, in the coming months, have some sort of wedding proposal happen on stage at the show, which is super exciting. So, like,
but
that,
what if it goes badly?
If it goes badly, then I'll make
also
it funny.
You
know what I mean? We'll just have to make that funny.
Kevin, have you ever had a proposal happen at a show? That happened to me once at Zany's on Wells. Have you ever had that? Yes, I had that happen. Yeah. And they come back and they celebrate their anniversary. I'm their favorite comic. Huh. So he proposed to her at my show.
Yeah, now, did they tell you, hey, heads up?
No.
They just did this in the middle of your show?
I can't remember. I'm trying. I felt so much pressure to make sure that it went well that I can't remember. They must have told me ahead of time because they had the bottle of champagne. Yeah, they had to have told me.
Okay.
Ahead of time. Yes.
I don't recall anybody because I would have told them no. Not on my watch. Come on, I got a show to do. You guys want to fall in love? Get out of here.
Do it on your time.
I roll with that kind of stuff. Have you had weird things, Jeannie?
I had somebody like go into a diabetic coma.
Okay.
On Zany's on Wells. Mm-hmm. And so then they just said, keep going. And I was like, I have no more material. And then, the entire audience was facing toward the back.
Right.
As the ambulance personnel came in.
Yeah.
And I just had to keep telling jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, right, because you can't do a play-by-play at that point.
I didn't know what was happening. I just knew that, EMTs were like storming in the back.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? Make sure you check your blood sugars before you come up to the comedy club. And Paul, have you ever had a bizarre situation? I didn't mean to quiz you and throw you on the spot like this.
No, I mean, I had like a guy who was drunk and it ended up being like a former client of mine. Like he thought I was trying to help me, but he was heckling me.
I was not.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I'm like, all right, I don't think like I couldn't be mean to him because I mean, I need his business. So it was
you're trapped.
So yeah, but it was kind of a weird situation.
I had the mayor of Vernon Hills heckle me when I was at the Zanies out there, and at the end of the show, my mom was there.
Oh man!
And she made him buy 4 T-shirts. You ruined the entire show.
Oh, I love it.
It was.
I didn't know you had merch. Great.
I sell T-shirts. Yeah, it says just because you can talk doesn't mean you should. So that seemed appropriate for him to buy.
That is amazing.
Yeah. This is my mom. You can ask Robbie Gandy Davis. She was there that night. Yeah.
4 is an easy to get off on for the mayor. He could have like had to buy him for the population of Vernon Hills or something.
I know. I think that was the minimum, and he was trying to slink out the door.
Nice. I love your mom.
So bizarre. You guys also have a podcast. Tell me about that.
Well, Paul started this podcast, so I'm going to tell you about it. It's called Singles Only, and we try to find out how and why Paul is still adamantly single. He's a good-looking guy.
How is one adamantly single?
Well, because he's broken and somebody hurt him.
Do we get it?
Shoot.
You can't decide?
I'm glad that I'm not single anymore. It's tough. Paul can attest to it. Nobody wants to actually date anymore.
They want to hang out, right?
They want to hang out. That's what they say. Yeah.
Well, you, sir, you were...
every guy's nodding. Like, yeah.
No, I think Brandon's now in a relationship.
I was adamantly against the idea of relationships. And in theory, still am. Just am no longer practicing my own theory.
Okay.
Atta, baby.
Oh, that.
Are you doing the online dating, the apps and things like that?
I do a little bit, but mostly I try to stay single, I guess. I think the podcast is, there's so much pressure in society to not be single. And I think we just try to like show that, hey, you're not necessarily broken if you're single. In my case, yes. But like we've had people on who are like, they don't want to get married,
right?
And they're happy about it. And so when I started, it was really cool. But then when there would be other guys on it, it turned into like a bro fest. So we brought Jeannie on right before she got married again. And then I because we're frenemies, I'm like, you know what? I want you to be part of the show. And she just kind of like plays devil's advocate when we have these singles on. And we educate her.
Tells them why they're single.
Yeah.
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 She's the voice of reason.
Gee, that's how could I call in?
It's interesting. Things have changed from my perspective.
Oh, I can't even begin to imagine. I have friends who are on like OkCupid, mm-hmm. and some of the situations they've gotten themselves into, as far as like, you know, like someone wanting them to send them money because they're in another country and they're being forced to do this.
Wow.
And
stuff like, but there's good stories that come out of that stuff too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always hear people Esmeralda. Like, oh, I can't tell my kids that we met on OkCupid. Well, why not? Hey, kids, in the 2000s, the internet happened, and we started dating that way.
Esmeralda?
What? What?
Is talking about dating apps. Yes.
Oh, gosh. No, they were terrible. I actually, my current boyfriend, we met organically.
Oh, you did?
At a comedy show, oddly enough.
Was it? Oh, and you said you went to comedians you should know tonight.
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. CJ Sullivan. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. But no, they were the worst.
Yeah,
they were terrible and awful with Tinder and ugh.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody survives it.
I don't either. I was ready to get rid of them, and then
you found someone.
I was able to get rid of them.
We have to go to the news. Okay, do you guys want to hang out? Are you good for hanging out a little bit? We do have to, at some point, we have to talk about Trump. This is my Trump night. I don't know if we're good. But the thing is, like, I was so, even tonight, I don't want to talk about Trump.
You've
or
committed, though. I would be disappointed.
Okay.
If you stopped.
Coming up after the news, we will talk about
drinks and Trump. Okay. Here we go.
Drinks and drinks. What's there to talk about?
Yep. That means it's time for Trump trackers. We don't have audio tonight. I mean, I might send something to Craig. Do we have time if I sent you something? I mean, I was just trying to, I'm trying to track the answer he gave to Matt Lauer. So they had this Commander-in-Chief forum on NBC. It was an exclusive. It was not a debate. It was basically each candidate had the opportunity to present their ideas and have a one-on-one with Matt Lauer. Did you watch it,
Paul? I saw part of it where I don't know if you're talking about the answer where he's like, he can't give his...
The details
because he doesn't want the enemy to know. And it was just like... He's like, well, they're like, what's your plan? He's like, well, I can't tell you my plan, but I'm going to get rid of ISIS in 30 days. And
right.
He's like, I'm not going to tell you how.
Well, he also has recently said that he knows how to end violence in Chicago and could do it in a week.
Yeah.
But he's not going to tell us because he needs to be president first.
And he had a secret meeting with someone in the police, but they denied that it ever happened.
Right.
Of course they did. It was secret.
Yeah. That's why Donald said.
And which enemy are we talking about? Hillary Clinton for him or...
Right.
Or the
it was ISIS.
It was ISIS.
In this enemy case. Of
everybody's enemy.
Right. Yeah,
everybody's enemy. Okay.
Yes, which was by the way, and I think did he in that presentation say that Saddam Hussein got a lot done? Was it today that he said that? But he was talking about Iran
before,
and Iraq.
Where he's like, "There's a good thing to have someone in that keeps it in line, so we don't have to, or something like that." At
right.
One point.
Right. And but also, I think tonight he said that we're going to go in and get all the oil. And Matt Lauer asked him, how are we going to get the oil? Well, we're going to send people in, and they're going to go grab it. And just buckets.
It's like a Walmart.
Buckets and buckets of oil.
That's, yeah. I don't know. I had trouble getting oil the other week. I went to the Jewel, and they didn't have almond oil, and I baffled the entire staff.
What did you need almond oil for?
It's got a high smoke point, so you can cook eggs with it. And you can cook with it.
I don't understand.
Okay, if you take...
Let's send Kevin in to Iraq and get the oil.
If you take... You're going to have to excuse me. I drank margaritas last night, so this is as clear as I can be.
Okay.
If you want to cook food in a frying pan, rather than use regular olive oil, if you use almond oil, it has a higher smoke point, which means it'll cook better and you'll keep all the nutrients that are contained in the oil will stay there.
Okay. And how does it make your eggs taste?
Oh, they're delicious.
Okay.
It's just fine. It's just that's... You know, I went looking. I'm sorry to digress so much, but what?
Well, no, talking about oil.
You're
I think
very
this is,
free with this information. Yeah. Very un-Trump-like. Yeah. You should hang on to this.
I think so. Here, let's listen to some of the audio from tonight's presentation.
So is the plan you've been hiding this whole time asking someone else for their plan?
No. But when I do come up with a plan that I like and that perhaps agrees with mine or maybe doesn't, I may love what the generals come back with. I will convene.
But you have your own plan.
I have a plan, but I want to be. I don't want to. Look, I have a very substantial chance of winning. Make America great again. We're going to make America great again. I have a substantial chance of winning. If I win, I don't want to broadcast to the enemy exactly what my plan is. And let me tell you, if I like maybe a combination of my plan and the general's plan or the general's plan, if I like their plan, Matt, I'm not going to call you up and say, Matt, we have a great plan. This is what Obama does. We're going to leave Iraq on a certain
date. But you're going to convene a panel of generals, and you've already said you know more about ISIS than those generals.
Well, they'd probably be different generals, to be honest with you.
Well, you see, Almond Oil has a very high smart point.
I love how who throws their slogan in into the middle of an
Twice.
Answer about yeah. how to tackle terrorists that are, you know, basically holding us hostage globally. Right?
He does understand branding, that's for sure.
Right.
You get
yeah.
that
sure.
you get that phrase repeated, and we're all thinking
it's a trademark.
It. Yeah. Now it's on my hat.
Oh, and by the way, he's not. I mean, it's not wrong that he has a very substantial chance of winning. He's pulled ahead.
The
in
margins are getting smaller and smaller,
yeah. right? Yeah. And part of that was her post, convention bump, right? But then that has tumbled quite a bit. Then she disappeared for a long time, trying to get more supporters, getting more money. He was out there, but then the trip to Mexico didn't seem to have any sort of impact, even though the president of Mexico said no. I said I'm not paying for the wall.
Yeah,
and he said it didn't come up, but nobody cares because he went and did a speech that night in Arizona about, you know, this very anti-immigrant, and so many antis.
Just flaming, like getting the his supporters,
the base riled,
rile them up again.
When did the Latinos for Trump guy talk about all the taco trucks that are going to show up?
What
if Donald Trump doesn't win?
Yeah, if Hillary wins, you didn't see this?
No,
there will be taco trucks on every corner. If Hillary Clinton wins, there'll be taco trucks everywhere, which kind of sounds amazing.
Thing?
Yes,
wait, are they threatening us?
Is that a bad thing?
Is this racist? Yeah. What's happening?
He's,
right now?
He's from Mexico too.
That's the latest version of chicken in every pot. It really is. I mean,
was that Huey Long who said there'd be a car in every driveway and a chicken in every pot?
I don't know. He just signed today with the Bears, didn't he, Huey Long? You got a 4-year extension, right?
There's, yeah. By the way, there is a Facebook page, Taco Trucks on Every Corner. So you can go there and share your love of taco trucks. You can post pictures of your favorites and help to create millions of jobs by voting in November. So if they're going to be taco truck, I think
it's
that'd be great.
Me hungry.
I'm still confused. Is this man saying that would be bad?
Yeah, I thought
like
it was
Hillary
a good thing.
Equals taco trucks, which equals bad.
Yeah. When you first said that, I thought people would be celebrating coming out with taco trucks.
I don't want to live in an America that there's not taco trucks on every corner.
I mean, in Austin, there's food trucks everywhere. It's like a thing.
Yeah,
it could really be a thing if Chicago had better parking.
Yeah.
I have to assume that his implication, he was implying that there would be so many Mexicans, they're just going to be driving taco trucks all over the country. Was that
that is super business. Dumb and racist so then.
Much. Oh, because we would be
but
consuming.
Delicious.
This systematic racism tastes so good
corner.
With sour cream.
Right. Now, I did my part last night. I was in Lincoln Square at Garcia's having margaritas.
Is that where you had the margaritas?
Yes.
Garcia's does have great margaritas.
The guy, Noel, the bartender, mm-hmm. I talked to one of the owners, Oscar, last night. I hung out with these guys. They make incredible margaritas.
Okay, so
I'm doing my part.
So you walk by the Brau House, right?
Yes.
I'm imagining the German-Irish guy that I know.
Yeah.
That walks. Do you hang out? Do you live in Lincoln Square?
I do.
Right. So Garcia's, it's a great place. They have really good burritos.
Oh, baby.
So very, very, very good. I ended up at Taco Burrito King. Have you guys been to TBK?
Yeah.
That's you got to really want a taco to hang out with the folks that are ending up at TBK.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Now, where is your Taco Burrito King that you...
I've been to the one on Higgins and the Kennedy Expressway, like Higgins and Harlem.
Okay.
And then there's...
Oh,
one,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one on... Brandon, I think this is a place that you, in your late evenings, adventures, you might enjoy as well.
Casa de Burrito. Muy cerca de mi cama. Very close to my bed. I can just grab it and walk home. Lawrence,
I want to do like a burrito, like just go to all the places, like instead of like a beer run, just
like
go
a burrito
to,
crawl.
Yeah, burrito crawl. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
We live Facebook this event, you know, get a following.
Yeah, because I think that's like the best meal ever.
And if you know, if this comes to fruition and there's a taco cart on every corner,
yeah.
we won't have to walk far.
It'll be a very fast crawl.
I love this. It was Marco Gutierrez who said that you're going to have taco trucks on every corner if we elect Hillary Clinton. And my culture, he says, my culture, here's the quote, my culture, meaning our culture, Esmeralda, as Mexicans, mm-hmm. is very a very dominant culture, and it's imposing and it's causing problems. So if you don't do something about it, you're going to have taco trucks on every corner. So that's what he was saying.
Still sounds
delicious.
Wow,
he hates himself.
I got along great last night. I still don't see what the problem is.
But that would drive the prices down, right? So that means you can get all the tacos you want.
And Craig, do you find on this show that I have a very imposing culture that I bring to the show? That I make you wear the sombrero sometimes.
The only thing I want to say right now after this whole segment is we've never had tacos in here, or it's been a long time.
Broken English.
I don't know why that. Yeah.
Yes.
Where are the tacos? If tacos are supposed to be everywhere,
and I'm here, and Esmeralda is here,
right? And neither of you have brought any tacos.
I actually have a griddle up here where I make my own tacos. I don't share them. Sorry.
Why don't you share those?
McTaco?
Yeah. She's got a taco griddle.
I have a
griddle.
Line out the door right now.
I'll buy some tacos. If that's what it's about, I'll pay for tacos.
Wow. I have my own little taco stand up here. Seventh floor.
How come, you know, I've been accused of having a liberal agenda, which I have not found that document yet. I'm pretty sure it went through the wash. We looked everywhere, all over the studio, could not find that paperwork. But I guess it's good that I've never been accused of having a taco agenda. I've never.
But like, the sad thing is the way this is going in such a farce-esque way of the election in total, like, tacos might actually factor into this at this point. Like, you know, like, how sad is that? But that's really true. Well, he's right. I can't stand those trucks. Eyesores they are, I tell you. Like, I just.
Have you ever tried the mac and cheese trucks? Oh, and the grilled cheese sandwich trucks are good too.
Tell you what, that's a devotion to your craft too. You know, I mean, like, quick, short order, that tiny little kitchen in there, moving all around, like, not having a base, like, constantly prep. Like, think about what are the restaurant regulations in there, too? Like, how high does the third pan have to be off the floor of your truck? You know what I mean? Like, that is a real commitment to your life.
See, today, at my job, I was cutting fruit, and all of a sudden, they decided to do an inspection. As I'm, you know, cutting fruit, and I'm like, what's going on? I work at a psycho ward restaurant. People are nuts.
Great combo.
Esmeralda, enjoy your dinner. Yes. So good.
That is probably why they had the inspection. Right?
Yeah.
The food is good. No, this is, you know what? That should be one of the special psycho ward. Mm-hmm.
That'll be good for the marketing.
Yeah. Psycho ward dinner.
That's what this election feels like. You know, the psycho ward trucks all over the neighborhoods. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with some of the greatest comedians in Chicago, including Brandon C. Price, who is the CEO, mastermind, and one of the great performers of Vamp. You can go to vampchicago.com to find out about their music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL Chicago. MCL
It's on Sheffield, south of Belmont.
I always get Sheffield and Southport confused.
They're very close.
It's every Friday and Saturday night at 10:30, and look forward to the Christmas shows coming up, your cabaret Christmas shows.
Oh, yeah, very exciting stuff.
Very cool. Kevin Naughton is the host of Snapshots every second Monday of the month at Zanies. You can go to zanies.com. I'll be performing with you on Monday night.
Right.
Coming up, trying to do all new material.
Cool.
The last two times I did.
Yeah, and you did a nice job, too.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the show, too. I've got Laura Hugg's going to host.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
We've got a nice mixture of people.
It's a challenge. Jeannie Dugan and Paul Farvar are here as well. When I do Kevin's show, I stand on one foot if I do old material. So if I do old material, I have to stand on one foot.
It's the entire time.
If I only did like 20 seconds. I was able to do the rest was all new stuff. So I was excited about that.
It's a fun show.
It's a very fun show.
Paul's on my show a lot.
Yeah.
Well, he has his own show this Friday with Jeannie.
Yeah.
They have their own show at the Laugh Factory. You can go to laughfactory.com, go to the Chicago calendar.
Yes.
I'm guessing on there. And also your podcast.
Yeah, we have a podcast called Singles Only. We release it on Mondays. It's for single people. But if you're not single, you can listen and make fun of us.
Or anybody that wants to be glad that they're not single anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to
I'm
it.
So,
yeah. Or secretly longing, too.
For everybody, yeah.
Yeah, you might want to listen to it.
Yeah, I think it reminds you of, like, you know, if you're going through a dark period in your marriage, like, no, I'm not going to start all over again.
Right.
Well, and you're not single, so
no,
it's...
I'm married. I'm recently remarried.
Congratulations!
Yeah, thank you.
Very
Thanks.
Exciting.
So I'm not longing to be single yet again.
Right now, I
I'm still in the honeymoon phase.
I don't think I like to think that I might not be in the honeymoon phase, but I'm in the maybe vow renewal phase.
Okay.
I think I could do that. It's just, what was it again?
Like a reason to take a vacation.
Yes,
somewhere.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Vow renewal. I do that as a single guy all the time.
Vow renewal.
Oh, yeah. I do my single vows. Not a chance in hell, I keep saying.
Yes.
Craig, you were mentioning that we have some responses to the idea that Esmeralda and her tacos?
Yeah, from the 847, just a little advice for Esmeralda. Do not share your meals. They just want to make sure you know that.
Do not share your meals?
Do
well,
not
I'm
share
making them.
Them
up here, and then I'm selling them.
Oh, got it.
But only on the seventh floor.
From the 708, and this is Patty from an earlier conversation we had. As an infection control officer, I must tell you, never stay in a room that has a bat in it.
Thank you.
Just so you know.
Fancy Price, you are wrong,
I'd
wrong
like a
pants.
Follow-up text as to exactly why.
And then we have another text during the Trump segment, which is from Trucker Phil that just wants us to know that it's 107 days until Hanukkah, 108 until Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Trucker Phil. Yeah. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
These are the conversations we have at night.
All right.
So there you go. Don't share your tacos, Esmeralda, and I will not sleep with bats. Brandon, on the other hand, feels confident that the bat is not there to harm him.
I'm not out there trying to sleep with bats. I'm just not against the concept.
He's not anti-bat sleepage.
This is 2016, people.
Yeah. All right, you guys continue to talk. I'm going to register for the lottery to win. Is it to win tickets or to win the opportunity to buy single tickets to the Cubs game?
You would win an opportunity to pay for tickets to the game.
All right, so... Yeah. But just one ticket. I can't. So if I want more than one ticket, I have to register under a different email.
I think you can pick up to four tickets, right?
Okay. Yeah.
If you win, then you can buy up to four tickets.
Oh, I thought it was just the single tickets. Hey, Chicago Cubs fans, if you want to catch your favorite team in the playoffs at Wrigley, why am I reading this like a live read? I'm giving a commercial. But starting this morning, so Wednesday morning, actually, since we haven't gone to bed, what day is today? Is it still
Thursday?
Oh, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. You're saying it's Thursday?
Wednesday.
Throw them out right now. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday night. Yeah.
It's Wednesday night.
Oh,
it's okay. I'm just
Jeannie. You already failed.
Well, she's remarried. So
yes.
This is why. Yeah. You failed,
Brandon. For the Braves, you were telling us that they won in extra innings tonight.
No, I was wrong. I looked and I thought they'd won in 10, but they lost in 11. But Strasburg's out for the season for the Nationals, and anything bad that happens to the Nationals is good for America.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, he was out. He laid down 6 out of 8, and then his elbow went weird, and now they're saying he's done for the season.
But Brandon,
that's
good
for the Cubs.
Why so anti-Washington Nationals?
Anybody in the National East, man, I can't stand them.
You can't stand them.
Yeah, I would, you know, the Mets and the Phillies, but like... I can't tell who I get between the three. I go back and forth. I also don't like the Red Sox, but that's because I personally know someone who's a Red Sox fan who's a terrible person. But baseball wise, I have no issue with the Marlins. Change your hat, change your name, put the colors on. I don't care. Wow.
I just want to say that all Red Sox fans are terrible people. So wow. That is absolutely right.
Wow.
Craig Collins gets it a lot when we talk
is he
baseball.
A Yankees fan?
Yeah, oh yeah, die hard.
I just I played ball with Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nationals. He's a great guy.
Well, you can't blame him personally for being on such an evil team.
They're so new.
I'm sensing a little bit of
and
a Brandon attitude over here.
The Expos, I feel so bad for because they were going to be huge right before the 90s strike. You know what I mean? They absolutely got, and then they never had a chance to come back revenue-wise. I don't know. Like, I mean, don't you? It's like Auburn, Alabama, or what's the big Michigan State, Ohio? Or I don't know what it's not SEC, but like college football rivalries, like
Michigan, Ohio State.
Okay, so if you have one of those, don't you just hate every other team in the conference?
Yeah,
don't
that's
you
right.
just have to root for them to lose all the time, especially when records are so long and build up and matter? You know, so I have been trained by a very pessimistic sports fan and my father to absolutely hate anyone that isn't on your team. My dad's got a VHS of Alabama fans crying and reacting to like plays when they lose to Auburn or to anything. And when he's in a bad mood, he puts that tape in and just watches like just little clips. Like he made it himself when VHS and VCRs were things. And it's just clips of Alabama fans being distraught over losing, and he just watches it. And that's,
did he make you watch it when you were a kid?
Oh no, he's like, we'd come home like I don't know, lots of reasons why he was upset growing up, but but we.
You're
in
comedy now, yeah.
Yeah, and it's all full circle, isn't it?
See, now I played college baseball, and we played against Alabama, and I never played against and I played a lot of ball. I never played against more rude people. In my life.
Wait a minute. You mean the players or the people?
Okay, they're
going to
fight during the break. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by comedians Jeannie Dugan and Paul Farvar. They are appearing at the Laugh Factory this Friday night. Shows at 8 o'clock. They also host their podcast. What is it called again?
Singles Only.
Singles Only. But it's not for singles only.
No.
But you talk to singles only. Jeannie is not single.
Yeah, I'm just the voice of reason.
She's the only person allowed to be on the show that's not single.
Oh, that's it.
Because she's like, just keeps us in line in case we start bad-mouthing married people too much.
Yeah.
And also the voice of, hey, it's not as bad as you think it is. Right? There's nothing to fear.
We educate
her. Sometimes it's absolutely as bad as you think it is, but not all the time. That's the point I try to get across.
Sometimes it's shocking even to me. But yeah, I mean, like, it's a great show. It's short. They're usually like 25, 30 minutes.
And where can people find it?
It's on iTunes, just singles only. I think it's on the Laugh Factory channel as well.
Excellent. Yeah. Check that out. We also have Kevin Naughton, who is the host of Snapshots, the creator, the genius behind Snapshots, every second Monday of the month at Zanies. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. I'll be on that show this Monday, and he'll be closing out the show, and it's hosted by Laura Hug this month.
Yeah, Laura's going to come on, and we also have some other Tim Slagle's going to come by and do a set, and we have some other veterans coming out, and some relatively new people that are going to be working on their acts. It's a great opportunity for anybody to come out, and if you're in the audience, you're going to laugh, and if you're going to go up on stage, you get to work on your stuff.
I'm going to work on my stuff.
Yeah, and so am I. I'm going to work on my stuff and be responsible for, you know, the sound of the building settling as I work on my stuff. You ever move into a new place, like a house or an apartment or a condo, and you're laying in your new bed, and all of a sudden you can actually hear the new sounds and stuff like that. That sometimes, if my new stuff doesn't work, that's what I hear.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I was trying to work on something about, I don't know if you saw this, and Brendan C. Price, who is the mastermind, the great performer of Vamp. You can go to vampchicago.com for ticket information of their music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at 10:30. I just lost my train of thought. Okay. What was I going to say?
I don't know, but you were talking.
Oh, I was going to try new material. I wanted to tell, there's a story out of Virginia. They're working on legislation to ban the forced marriages of 12-year-old girls.
Oh.
So I thought, and I was trying to work out, but that sounds so dark, and it probably sounds so religious, sort of ridiculous to an audience.
Yeah, why would you want to ban that? That's crazy talk.
But I think that they looked at me like that can't be a true story. It is.
Yeah.
In the past, over about a 10-year period, there were over 5,300 marriages for women under the age of 18. About 500 of them were women that were under girls that were under 15 years old, and so they're working to ban that. I guess in order to come into the 20th century, perhaps, and maybe they'll get to the 21st. We're not sure. But so I was trying. It's one of those things that I kind of didn't work out before I put it on stage.
Okay.
And I thought, well, why don't we, while you're at it, also ban forced marriages of 13-year-olds and also 14-year-olds and also forced marriages of women, I thought would be a good thing to maybe legislate against. Yes. Yeah. See, the stares that I'm getting from around the room was exactly how it felt.
True.
That's maybe why it didn't work. Because you're like, yeah, that sounds logical right there. Yeah, sorry.
But if you don't hash that stuff out somewhere, that's why we need places in Chicago to hash this stuff out, even if you are a veteran, because some of this stuff, it just gets too wordy. There was in the news recently, I was working on some material about an Indian man who apparently swallowed 40 knives.
What?
Yeah, he swallowed 40 knives, and he was in the news. And the doctors operated on him, and he's going to be okay. That's right, right. And the doctors were saying, they were even joking, and they said, hey, listen, next time you get that taste in your mouth, you might want to try some spinach. It's got iron in it. That's what the doctor said. They're making a joke. And they're recommending the guys eating spinach, you know, and I've got to, you know, so I was working on this stuff on stage because it's so ridiculous. That the man, I mean, how do you make the decision to continue? Not just one or two.
Yeah,
knives.
Like at the 18th one, you're like, no, I'm still in this.
These are like, I mean, like there's cashews or Doritos or something. You're just continually wolfing down and swallowing, you know, 40 knives.
Wow.
You know, which is, you know, I mean, and then they say, you know, they say that they don't want to release him because they want to see what's wrong with him. They're going to have a psychiatric evaluation, you know, which just, that always gets me, because exactly what do you have to do to be considered full-blown nuts? in this world.
Was there a giant cash prize at the end? Like, get to that 40-year-old.
Yeah.
That's perfectly safe.
That seems fine in Virginia to some people.
Yeah. Swallowing 40 knives.
Maybe he's a circus act.
That needs legislation.
A one-time act.
That's a one-and-done kind of a situation.
Is everyone watching?
Before we came back from the news, I asked Jeannie Dugan if... Well, I asked all of you if we could talk about Amy Schumer. I don't know if we're going to go into the... It was apparently a conversation over the Labor Day weekend. Lena Dunham was slapped for her presumptive and prejudiced remarks about Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know who Odell Beckham Jr. is. Does anybody know?
He's a football player.
Yeah, he's a receiver for the New York Giants.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver for the New York Giants. He's actually quite good.
Yes,
he's quite good.
And I don't know what the conversation was about, but then it was a chat between her and Amy Schumer. Dunham has since apologized for saying that Beckham was uninterested in talking to her because he was turned off by her body type and outfit. So apparently there was this sort of this clash online. This is the thing, too, is that like conversations like that should end there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we shouldn't know any of these things. Yeah. People say perfectly ridiculous, stupid, ignorant things all the time.
Yeah, you say them in private to your friends.
Yeah.
No, they were being interviewed. They were talking about it in like an...
Is that what it was?
An online interview, yeah.
Oh, it was an online...
Lena Dunham made a comment, like, he looked over at her and then looked down. And then she just presumed that she made that statement, and he's
so that's
like
about her. And yeah. So him looking away, she made it about her instead of like he was looking at the clock and
he
wanted to know what time
anything.
It was. Right? Yeah. He hadn't done anything. She was creating a drama in her head.
He wasn't sexually harassing her.
Yeah,
and she looked up and looked down,
and he was punished for not.
And so, she took that as a very rude thing because she's a spoiled brat.
So then Amy Schumer decided to jump into it. And say that she quickly deleted a post on September 2nd at Paolo Dos Santos, an economic professor at New School. Lena Dunham, Amy Schumer et al. Refused that misogyny among men of color, while hideously prevalent, is no more so than among white women. Schumer replied, "How would you know statistically who is hollering at you in the street more, paw?" So basically...
Wow.
I don't... Well, here's my thing about... I mentioned this in the first segment that I had been tweeted at by an audience member who was embarrassed last night because she disrupted the show. And after the show, she continued to... It's so bizarre that an audience member can first ruin a show and then tweet at you and extend the experience.
Yeah.
Right? But I didn't respond to her. I didn't. I meant to tweet back because another audience member tweeted that girl needed to go. So I could just give her that tweet that they both exist, but I'm not going to address it. It's not important to me.
Right.
But Amy Schumer, for some reason, thinks that these things are important to her. So this guy, you know, engages her. So now she's got to go after him and, you know, up the ante, as it were.
Yeah.
It's like Donald Trump. He responds to everybody that attacks him.
You know what's not important, Amy Schumer, and I can't believe this isn't talked about more? Voting. She has admitted that she has never voted in an election, and she's held up as a feminist icon.
Well, not
can you believe that?
Well, plus isn't her uncle,
Charles Schumer.
Isn't Charles Schumer
New York
her
Senator,
uncle?
Former New York Senator, yeah.
Does she think that it would be politically inappropriate of her?
I need to go back and find this link because it was so disturbing to me. She like was bragging that she had never voted in an election. And why are we listening to anything she has to say if it's not set up punchline? What? Why are we listening to her?
Because she gets politically involved, you mean? She?
I guess.
10 incredibly true facts about Amy Schumer. Yes, I guess she has said she has tried to get involved like with the Senate gun vote. And I don't know what's happening out there. Hi. Yes. thank you very much. I can't. We don't have access. Thank you very much. Hi. This is weird. I've become that again. I'm the dog and up. Squirrel. There are people waving to me on Michigan Avenue. It's the I do think that partly her constantly, like John Tatey from the AV Club, they had a review of her new season Inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central, and they gave it a good review. They just said that some of it was repetitive, and she engaged them, even though they basically gave her a B+, which is good. You know, but I mean, like, let it go. Just do your you have a show.
Right. Let it go. And some of her show skits, they're so funny. And I don't know if they're repetitive because I haven't watched it all that much because I'm busy voting.
And living my life.
Right. Yeah. No, some of that is just so much fun and brilliant. But it annoys me that she's getting involved politically, because you could get involved politically by voting.
For those of you who don't vote, and it is that conversation of, you know, you can't complain if you don't vote. And people are like, I can complain all I want. But you didn't vote. If you're upset about something, this is, you know, true in places like North Carolina, where people now are upset about the way things are going, because a lot of companies are pulling out over the bathroom legislation. And they've lost public funding for their universities. And everyone's upset. Well, you had the opportunity to prevent this, but you voted for people who said they were going to do these kinds of things.
Right.
So it's just frustrating. I'm sorry. We went from with when it comes to what I have a problem with Amy Schumer is that she's held up as a paragon of female comedy, as though somehow this is an example of what you should aspire to as a. And it's not just that; it's that the show business has this. These parameters. These are the only ones that are going to make it. The very dirty, aggressive. Erica Nicole Clark had a great post about this. That, you know, I hate my body. I eat a lot. I drink a lot. I'm repulsive. You know, and that's sort of the only voices that are. Those are the only voices that are heard.
Yeah,
because there hasn't been someone since Wanda Sykes. Where's our next Wanda Sykes?
Maria Bamford is kind of setting her own new parameters.
Is it that she's too quirky that she's not at that. That higher level,
but she's getting some great things. I mean, oh, but she's
the Netflix series,
she got the Netflix series, and she's got. You know, I guess it's just the idea of what you have to look for when it's mainstream. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have thoughts on Amy Schumer?
My thought is, while you guys are talking about that, is like, I wonder if I tweet at her and I attack her, how many new followers I can get, because I'm just thinking of how it could benefit me.
I think that's exactly it. I think when you mention Trump, that's exactly it. I mean, and I'm not saying for or against Amy Schumer. I don't particularly follow things like that. But if you push buttons and poke bears in public, people will talk about you. And it doesn't matter if we're all yelling about how terrible she is for not voting. It doesn't matter. Her name's on our tongue.
Right.
And that's recognition. Any publicity is good publicity.
Like Ann Coulter.
People like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. She just got she bombed the roast.
She canned, yeah.
Did she bomb?
She bombed really bad, but she was trending for like ever.
Well,
so it probably
the roast
her.
Of her was pretty aggressive. Did you see them all roasting her?
Yeah, I watched the whole roast, but I mean, she bombed really bad, and it's because she wouldn't do the jokes that the writers gave her.
What did she do? Like, what kind of stuff?
She did like just bad, like hokey political stuff that just didn't work. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, but you know, she was blatantly promoting her new book.
Right.
And guess what? It worked. Like, right. As much as people don't like her.
By the way, in which she says that Donald Trump was not mocking the disabled reporter. Yeah. He was just doing a standard retard impression.
Yeah.
That's just standard. Worse. That's across the board. You can't take that personally.
I don't even know what to do with that information.
And it's true. Like what you're
and by the way, and I often will catch people when they, but that's the way she wrote it. So I'm saying the word because
she said it.
She wrote that. Which and there's no. I can't say the R word.
I agree.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I actually retweeted something that was funny about Donald Trump, and I got attacked by Trump supporters for like a day or two, which I was like, that's kind of funny because they just start saying asinine comments from like 2004. They're like, well, what about this? I'm like, I didn't even say anything about Hillary Clinton. I'm just retweeting this funny thing.
People get addicted to being mad at things like that. It starts to where you enjoy reading the Facebook posts of the people that have a different opinion than you. So you, even if you're not like want to troll every little comment, you do. You get almost fed by being angry about it, because the more angry you are at an opinion that isn't yours, the more you know you are right intrinsically, and that's a good feeling.
By the way, to Jeannie's point, in that she's come out a lot about how Hillary haters aren't informed, and you know you're right. If she's going to get involved in the political conversation, you can't attack people who hate Hillary if you haven't participated before.
Well, and she also speaks on these levels with Lena Dunham as being, you know, this feminist. And is that really who you want speaking for you? It's kind of, I don't care what wave you're in of feminism, you should be informed. You should vote if you're going to be, you know, platforming
participate.
On that.
Yeah. We are going to wrap up in just a moment. Give me the good stuff when we come back. 312-981-7200 if you want to share something good that's going on in your life. We'd love to hear about it. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm walking on sunshine. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. There's so much going on in the news that can make you angry, or arguments you get into with your friends and family or strangers over politics or global issues or the city of Chicago or teachers' unions. There's, you know what? We want to know. We want to hear something good at the end of the show every night. Give me the good stuff. And we want to know what you've got going on that makes you happy tonight, today. 312-981-7200. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, who is the CEO, founder of Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL. Go to vampchicago.com for ticket information. And Brandon, did you want to tell us something good going on in your life?
Sure. My sister, my middle sister, who is the very different one of the family, she has several degrees and real jobs and things. And she unfortunately did. She's a Trump supporter as well, but they're all from the South. You can't blame them. Otherwise, she's very intelligent. she goes to bed at 8, so she's not listening. she just got engaged to be engaged and is moving to Manhattan.
Hey! So congratulations.
Kind of life they have is like, well, we're going to be engaged December 7th.
Oh.
And so I'm like, so do I say congratulations
pre-engagement?
Now? But you know what? Like, this is what she's wanted. This guy seems pretty nice. And I'm glad somebody will procreate in our family. So
that's lovely.
Yeah, it was really good news.
Yeah, to procreating like, oh, possibilities. Cool. The pre-procreation possibilities and the pre-engagement.
Go. You know what? You want to go with that cultural norm? You do your thing. I'm going to listen to the singles podcast.
Kevin Naughton, the host and creator of Snapshots, every second Monday of the month at Zanies. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. What's your good thing tonight?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I've got some very good friends. Yesterday, I got a text from... you remember Dave Wanstead used to coach the Bears?
Sure.
Yeah, we've befriended each other. And he texted me yesterday, and him and his wife, who, like I said, they've come to the show a few times, and they've just turned out to be really wonderful people. They texted me yesterday that they wanted to see if I was going to work tonight, and they said they weren't going to stop by my bar unless I was there.
Oh, and you were there.
And I was there, and I waited, and I took care of them, and they're just – I'm really happy that they're in my life.
That's a nice experience. Yeah. Paul Farvar and Jeannie Dugan are appearing this Friday night at the Laugh Factory, and that's over on Halsted near Belmont. You can go to laughfactory.com for ticket information. Paul, since you are not the top billing on that, I'll let you go first.
That's incorrect. No. I didn't understand how that works, so I was going to say that the Cubs are going to be in the World Series.
That works. But, that does work. They're going to be in the World Series. That's
I'll
a good thing.
Yeah, I've been a diehard Cubs fan forever, and my friend has season tickets, so I've been really nice to him. So
yes.
I know right. that I'm going to be able to go to at least one playoff game again.
Did you do it incrementally, being nice to him as they were getting better throughout? Like, you know,
no,
it started off with a streak of.
Yeah, now like this week, I've been, hey, you want me to bring you food? Like, he knows. It's very blatantly obvious. But like, I've also been there for him when like he was unloading tickets that nobody would take. I'm like, yeah, I'll take them.
Oh, okay.
What
so
a guy.
You've invested.
For free. You've, yeah. Like, I would have paid for them. But I am excited for that.
And Jeannie Dugan?
I have so many good things going on. The comedy. I have 4 kids, all healthy. So what's better than that? But my youngest daughter's playing basketball this year, mm-hmm. and she's visually impaired. And it was kind of a struggle to let her play. And she is doing fantastic. Put up 2 baskets today. They didn't go in, but they were super close.
Oh.
So that's just always fantastic, happy news.
That's
to see your
wonderful.
Kids doing well.
I'm no kidding, because you're so open, right? You're like you're so vulnerable to the moment, and to see them do well is a victory for both of you. Sue is on the line. She wanted to join our conversation. Hi, Sue. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing really great. Wow, thank you, everyone, all of you. I've been a longtime fan of yours, Patty, and
thank you.
Hopefully, I can. Well, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, and. Hopefully I can make it out to the show Monday night, and I just really enjoy all of you comedians that are there tonight, and of course you, Patty, and it just shows my style of what I find funny is how all of you can just, you don't need to say foul things and all that, you can just find funny ways of putting regular, I'm not saying the straight way, you can find funny ways of just putting regular things in life and making it entertaining for all of us and cheering us up.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
I just really appreciate all of you, and I appreciate you know, again, all of your that type of humor.
Well, thank as long you, as we brought you a laugh and a smile, I think that we feel like we've done our job tonight. Sue, will you hold on the line? Whether you, if you can make it out to Zany's, we will put your name at the box office at the front door and up to 4 tickets if you'd like. We'd love to have you as our guests.
My gosh, thank you.
My pleasure, Sue. Thank you so much. Lovely to hear from you. And we look forward to hearing from you again. More after this on 720 WGN.